This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Anyone can share VD with someone nice as you.
Hi, I'm Cameron Gray, Operations Director. Go.
VD is for everybody.
Okay, everybody has VD.
Yeah.
Enjoy VD.
Thank you.
Enjoy it, everybody.
One Saturday preseason game was at Ebbets Field in Brooklyn, and it occurred on Passover. I think it was 1948. I remember we brought matzo sandwiches.
Oh, yes. This is where Larry King brings matzo and chicken fat sandwiches to the great Jackie Robinson.
Yes, and he asked him where he got the matzo.
Jackie Robinson breaks the color line
right
to come over and say to Larry King, what am the name of the sandwich? Let me write down the name of this sandwich, Larry.
Yes, yes, the recipe.
Yes, listen to this.
Managed to finagle our way down behind the Dodgers dugout and give matzo to the players.
Yeah.
None of them knew what it was. Jackie Robinson ate a whole matzo square and then wrote down the name of the product so he could buy it.
Really?
We gave Joe Hatton, the Dodger pitcher that afternoon, a big matzo sandwich consisting of chicken fat on matzo. This is not the world's healthiest diet. But
what, Larry? But what?
It sure tasted damn good.
Oh, hey, watch your language. Watch your language.
Yeah, we believe you. We believe you. And Sandy Koufax is your best friend.
Uh-huh. What did he say yesterday on the book on tape? It was, I'm proud to...
Today, I'm proud to call my friend.
Today.
Yes.
Today.
Today.
VD.
It's for everybody.
It's for everybody.
Not just for the few.
I want to say hi to, who was that guy we met today? I mean, I know who he is, but what's his title? Is he,
He's the big wig.
The president?
I think he's the president.
Of Infinity?
I don't know.
Scott Herman?
Scott Herman is the, he's a very powerful
man. He's some radio muckety muck.
He's a powerful man, and we met with him today.
Yeah. He said to us, thanks for being clean.
Yeah.
And we said, thanks for being you. And I hope.
And then we hugged.
Nice. And I think that we have a good relationship with that guy. I think the relationship is strong enough that I can say the celebrity he most resembles is Bobby Bacala.
There you go. Yeah, well, you know, we'll find out shortly. If all of a sudden you hear these microphones go dead, we'll... Where'd everybody go? They've cut everyone's microphone off except mine. They didn't mean it, Scott. Well, they meant it, but they were just having fun. Come on, Scott.
VD is for everybody, not just for us.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah. I'm Buzz.
They asked you again. Give me just a moment. You just were standing there with a microphone. What's your name?
My name's Buzz.
That's fun in you. I think we did it with Cameron yesterday.
Yes, yeah, we did. We're doing it with everybody.
I thought it was for just executives.
I know. You remember. But Buzz, you're the executive of news on this show.
Well, that's right. You're the commander-in-chief of the news story.
For goodness sakes. And Buzz, you know, be glad you're not an executive. Be glad Bobby Bacala guy.
Oh, I'm so pleased.
Has to go around to these radio stations and have awkward meetings like you did with us today. Where really there's... We have no business with the guy. We have... As soon as he came into the office, they said... We got no complaints.
Yeah, and then, you know, sitting there staring at Alan Linewan with his mortician's grin on the whole time we were sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, just like, okay, we're done. We're done with that. Those meetings, about probably 10 years ago, we realized what those meetings are.
Really,
and that's what they are.
They're puppet shows. They're nice little puppet shows.
Right.
Where they fly in the guy from New York. Mm-hmm. It looks like Bobby Bacala, and he sits down and he says, you know, you guys are great.
It's nice. It is nice that they still include us on the list. We've had periods of time when we weren't included on the list. You know, where they'd come into town, and they only really meet with you if you are doing well. So that's a good sign.
Mm-hmm. Like that. I'm sure they didn't meet with any people at one of the broken stations.
That'd be sad.
Watch it.
I watch it.
Watch it.
Hey, listen, I think this is one of the broken stations. I just think he didn't.
Yeah, that didn't go over very
I think
well.
He didn't have the guts.
You were starting to do your whole broken station spiel, and that they nipped you in the bud. No, everything's fine.
I like it.
Okay. That's it. You were ready to rock and roll there.
The cover-up continues.
He's going to have some fun. He's going to have some fun with the guy. Uh-huh. You know, because he's asking us, you know, how are things going? Everything's going great. I said, how are things going with you?
Meanwhile, our general manager over there on the couch, which way did he go, George? Which way did he go?
So anyway, the guy says what any executive would say. He says, you know, Infinity owns, how many, 8 stations here or something? Says,
right.
You know, some are doing well, some are not doing well.
Of
some
course.
Some are broken. And I said, what do you think about this one?
You know, and I'll tell you, this morning I did feel like the employee of the month. I really did. Yeah. You know, I mean, after you called me, I said to myself, you know, man, I got a good gig here. You know, I'm treated pretty damn well here. When the only demand of me, the only requirement is Don calling me and says, listen, we got the big wig coming in today. Please try to get here at
2:30.
That's and I got off the phone with you, and I, for whatever reason, just laughed to myself.
Sure.
Saying, you know, that's it.
How bad can it be?
How bad can it be, really, right. when that's, and you know what? That's demanding, you know?
I know, baby. That's I appreciate that, baby. Yeah. That's why you're a star, baby.
It's just made
you're
me
a
laugh.
Playmaker.
It made me laugh.
Mike's not a player.
Like when
hater.
You said that, you know, when I, like if I said, you know, come back and say, no, I just can't do that. No, absolutely not. Because really, that is my normal arrival time that like Donald tell me that I should get there, and then it starts to, like, by probably 60-second increments, it starts to fade again.
It starts, you know, at 2:30.
It starts at 2:30, like when...
You should really just hang around. You should be here a little bit before the show. Try to be here at 2:30. Mike says, you know, you're right. I'm very busy. I'll be here. For a couple of days, he shows up at 2:30, and we, mm-hmm. you know, we kibitz and have fun upstairs.
Yeah.
And then it's like 2:35. Then it's 2:40.
I'm back on the 2:30 thing, though.
He's very busy.
Now, because of that. Even with the meeting, even though I know it was a specialty time, I'll be here. Half an hour before the show starts.
You're funny. You're funny, but you're not as funny as Bobby Bacala.
Thank God.
Now that's funny.
That is funny.
That's funny. No, I tell you what really is funny, though. Completely lame groaners.
Oh,
no.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, no, do you have something from Bitman? Mrs. Shannon?
Do I? No, who's this from, Robbie?
We're back to shopping the complete sheet.
Oh,
the complete
no.
sheet.
See if you notice the shift.
I will notice it. Because I believe these are worse.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'm Bobby Bacala. Who are you?
I'm Miss Hathaway.
What rock legend likes to bring harm to others?
What?
Malice Cooper. These are groaners.
Oh, groaners.
Oh, hello. What does Leonard Nimoy change when his car needs a tune-up?
What?
His spark plugs.
Oh.
Hey, what a groaner.
It's another Radio Disney joke.
There ought to be, you know, I've never said
okay,
this.
All right, hold
I don't think I've ever said this on the show. There ought to be a law.
Hold on. You want an off-color joke?
That sure. joke sheet is broken.
Hold on a second. This one has a bad word in it.
Oh, dear.
It has a bad word, but...
Well, that's not right.
I'm going to say it anyway.
In this day and age.
Okay.
You shouldn't be doing that.
It has a body part, but I'm going to tell you in advance, it has a body part that starts with V. I'm going to say the word because it's in the DJ joke. A woman... Hello.
Hello there, Mr. Shannon.
A woman in Hershey, Pennsylvania, gave birth to sextuplets. Both the mother and kids are doing well. Her vagina, however, has filed charges.
Oh, my God. You know what? That could never get us in trouble because it's simply not funny.
Right.
That wasn't under the groaners. That was just in the regular jokes.
And I just want to say that I'm very fond of the groaners.
Frasier ends its run this week after 11 years. And Frasier's dad is still limping, which means that Chick Daphne is officially the worst physical therapist in history. Hello.
That chick. That chick, Daphne.
I'm just reading them.
She's a fun chick.
And finally, Jackie Chan spent a week digging up landmines in Cambodia. After the tuxedo, he's got a lot of experience with bombs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There you go.
Is that it?
No, there's a lot more. I'm just not. We've got to start the show.
Yeah. Well, then let me be the first one to say, yeah. Hey now!
The Don and Mike Show.
There you go.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Yes, we are. Open the door with them. There, hi, Julia.
Hello.
Hi, honey. All of the uncles coming in.
Hello.
Yeah, I know. You love your uncles.
You can call Don and Mike anytime.
I know. Wow.
A man of
going
faith.
On there.
A man of faith and his soul torn apart.
Hello.
Jewish expression advised.
Try that.
Hello.
Those guys aren't broken.
No, they're not. Yes, they are.
No, no. And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Cicada.
Ooh. They're here.
Yes. And all the ships at sea. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the awful John Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hi, and thank you for listening to Don and Mike Show. New episode on this Wednesday.
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 Oh, you know, also,
hold on. I just got to stop.
Larry was talking. Was that Larry?
It was, you know...
Larry was talking about baseball.
I'll tell you what station is broken. This station is broken.
No, no. One time we got down behind the dugout and fixed one of the machines.
Here's the problem. They keep telling us for years and years, we're going to install digital edge-type computer stuff for our tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is they put in the monitors. I showed this to Jackie Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, is that a monitor? And he wanted to write it down. He'd never heard of it before.
You know, it makes me wonder, what's Wendell doing with his time?
Oh, God.
No, I'm kidding.
Wendell,
a joke.
Wendell, Mike said that.
Joke.
I don't wonder what you're doing with your time, Wendell.
Wendell, you know I did that because I know you get upset. I didn't mean
I don't
it. You
wonder what you're doing with it. Your time, Wendell.
I didn't mean it. But Wendell listens every day. You know, Wendell is a loyal listener, and yeah. I did that just to...
Well, he has to
just
listen.
To needle him
just
for
to work
fun.
Him. Yeah. He's the engineer. He has to listen, right?
He has to listen.
Well, yeah. No, does he really?
No.
We've had engineers that
did. It's good if they do.
Well, no, Tony
remember,
does.
Remember CF?
And hold on, Tony
CF
does.
Never listened.
Friedman?
No.
Who's that?
I can't say.
Who is CF?
I actually can't say. I can only say the initials.
Was he an engineer?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, Chip Fetra.
There you go.
the guy with the crazy eye.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that wasn't at this station.
No, it was. But we've had many engineers.
And the chief engineer here.
Ricardo Limon.
Tony. Tony Diggs, he just sits up in his office and listens to jazz music.
Remember Nick Rosenoff? He listened.
Death Breath. Yeah, I guess an engineer doesn't have to listen, so no. Thank you for listening. And Wendell,
yeah.
That was Mike that just said they're hurt.
I know it was. Okay, come on. He's going to get really mad at me.
Again, not to beat a dead horse,
yeah.
Although it's fun to beat a dead horse. You know why? Because he doesn't fight back.
That's right.
This stuff is just broken.
Mm-hmm.
They put in stuff that's supposed to be effective. Thank you, Rob.
Are you listening to our equipment?
I was just beating a dead horse.
Oh, there it is.
Can't be dead. David, it's fun to beat a dead horse.
I got news for you. That horse ain't dead.
I know. But if I didn't play the sound, you wouldn't know I was beating a dead horse.
Aren't you dead yet?
God. Jesus, what do you got to do to kill this horse? Right. Anyway, generally speaking, the equipment stinks. Half the stuff in here is digital. They have monitors in for
right.
Non-existent digital stuff.
Right.
And we have six old-time 8-track machines. That
the monitors are very pretty.
That are breaking always. But
they take up a lot of counter space.
But you've heard that a million times before.
And, you know, that's just beating the dead.
Hey, but you know what? We've got a lovely drop ceiling. We do.
Look at this.
John Gacy could not operate with the ceiling.
No way.
You couldn't put a body
no.
in the ceiling. And I'm thinking always about, Rob, when can we
have a digital clock.
When can we get that woman with John Wayne Gacy's brain on the show again?
You want her back?
Well, you know, I'm like Letterman or Leno or like Johnny Carson.
Favorite guest.
You get a guest and yeah. Every once in a while you say, let's bring them back like just a week later.
She is your Charles Nelson Reilly?
Oh.
Well, I'm hoping she'll tour and we can have her in studio.
Look at those air vents. Run your finger along
don't
there and see what you get.
No, thank
silly
you.
Silly string on
that. I wonder why people get sick around here.
No, thank you.
I tell you, they're really behind you around here.
But you know, here's the thing. God, now I'm going to be on the other side of the coin. Even though this is a bad, crappy station with bad, crappy equipment,
mm-hmm.
Well, it's... still a bad, crappy stage. even when you're watching, yeah, it's not broken. Well, you know, but it might be broken.
Parts just, of it.
He's not going to say it in front of Alan. So we're sitting upstairs. We had this guy's talking about some radio stations are broken, some are okay, some are not okay. And I said to him, what about this station? He said, oh, no, this one, WJFK, not broken.
Hmm.
Now, what's he going to say with Alan sitting there? What's he going to say? No, this is the most broken radio station we have. He's not going to say that.
Well, we know it's not, though. We know there's one that's more broken.
Thank goodness.
And of course, we knew that before he even said that.
And isn't that a great fallback position for everybody in life? You know, that's one great thing about being brought up in this culture that we've been brought up in. No matter how bad you're doing, no matter what it is that you're doing, how bad you're feeling in any certain day, you can look at someone else and take pleasure in the fact that they're doing worse than you, and somehow,
amen,
somehow that makes you feel better.
Yeah, it does.
For instance, on those off moments when I'm feeling, remember yesterday Buzz was suicidal at the beginning of the show?
yes, very depressed.
I think he's turned it around.
Yeah,
today,
oh, I 100%.
He's totally perky, looks relaxed.
Yeah. He looks ready to go.
Turn that frown upside down.
Yeah.
You know, and you know me, Mr. Glass Half Full, always looking at life from the sunny side. On those occasions when things get me down, I think, and then right away, it puts it all right in perspective.
How could you not feel perky when you think of him?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Imagine being in that skin.
Right.
Imagine being that bag of water walking around.
Incredible. You know, where life just means, you know, you're going from one can of Dinty Moore beef stew to the next.
We are all just bags of water. We really are. We're 86% water.
That's right.
We are bags of water. We are, as Kansas sang, we are dust in the wind.
We are dust in the wind.
Carry on.
Don't forget that.
Carry on, my wayward son.
But they're all on Zoloft now.
Kansas?
Yeah.
And I'm out of after Carry On, My Wayward Son, and...
That's all you need.
And Dust in the Wind. I know they had other songs. I just can't remember them.
Kansas. I always got Kansas and Foreigner confused.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Foreigner had a million hits. Hot
Feels Like the First Time.
Hot-Blooded, Cold Time.
Waiting.
Yeah, but Waiting for a Girl Like You. Say You Will, Say You Won't.
Urgent.
It's so... as B.O. Bob would say, urgent.
Urgent.
It's very urgent.
Well, but Kansas had to have more hits.
Those are the only ones I remember. Well, who knows? are you looking it up, Buzz?
Yeah, I would.
Incidentally, with all that stuff...
Rob's got a book.
With the technical stuff. We started the show, right?
You already said, hey, now, and you started...
Did I get the phone numbers?
And I don't know if you did that, but Rob introed us.
I gave the phone numbers?
Kansas is the 368th most successful act in history. Did you know that?
Well, good for them.
Their biggest hit, Dust in the Wind, followed on by... Carry on,
Wayward Son.
Play the Game Tonight.
Nah, not a big hit.
Point of No Return?
That was a hit.
Yeah, that was.
Portrait?
No, thanks.
Lonely Wind?
No. See, now you get into these are all the mid-charts.
Yeah. All I Wanted broke the top 20.
No, they're a two-hit band.
Shall we compare them to the other band?
Foreigner.
Oh, Foreigner had a million hits.
Well, they didn't have a million.
Well, you know, I bet you that Foreigner had at least 10 top 10 hits.
I think you're right.
At least 10.
You're right.
We're on this subject, the 92nd
most successful band ever.
When we're on this subject, you know I'll say that most of the time because I'm just playing the odds.
Feels Like the First Time.
The second single was Is It Cold as Ice?
Yes.
What was the third one?
Long, Long Way from Home, but that only
because I'm a long, long way from home.
Then Hot Blooded.
Double Vision.
Double Vision would be good on a Mystic by that much.
Ooh. Double Vision.
Blue Morning, Blue Day.
I don't remember that one.
Got a singing my way.
I think you're a Foreigner fan.
Dirty White Boy.
Oh, yeah, my anthem. Because I'm a dirty white boy. I'm a dirty white boy.
Head Games.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Urgent. Did you know Junior Walker played sax on that?
I did.
Waiting for a Girl Like You. Jukebox Hero, Break It Up, Luann. I Want to Know What Love Is.
Yeah, but Jukebox Hero was a hit record.
Jukebox Hero.
Dun, 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 dun. Because he's a jukebox hero.
Who had more hits, Foreigner or Styx?
Styx.
Yeah.
Styx.
Let's see. Hold on.
Starting with their first big hit was Lady. Now, they had a lot of ones before that, like Lorelei.
Who had more hits? Kansas?
Actually. Yeah.
Or Supertramp?
You're silly. Everybody knows. We heard Kansas had two. Supertramp had a lot. Take the Long Way Home.
Oh, yeah.
The something song. They had a song.
The logical song.
It's logical.
ELO, I'm sorry. Where'd that come from? Foreigner charted 21 and...
Yeah.
Styx charted 23 records.
Styx rules.
Wow.
Except for the Mr. Roboto. That's a guilty pleasure.
Domo already got... Well, I think it's one of... You know that point that you play it up until and then you turn it off? That's the best way to listen to that song.
Yeah, I'm positive I didn't give out the phone numbers.
I think you did.
I'm usually pretty good with that. I don't think I did. I think that the,
I think I might.
I think that the machines started going crazy about that time. 877-365-3636 from America, from Canada. I didn't say this. 800-636-1067 in D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067.
And what date is it?
See, we didn't do, I know that. We didn't do this part. Okay. We didn't do the last part because the stuff started screwing up.
Mm-hmm.
See? 05-12-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Wes Burbank here.
Jeremy Piven.
There you go. It's May 12th.
Yeah.
20-04.
Smack dab in the middle of Metallica.
And look at that. Can I tell you something about you people? You little brains out there, you wonderful listeners. This is why I love you. We're here chatting our heads off for 20 minutes. You could have been calling.
Yeah.
But you
wait till the numbers are given out and you're being polite.
Yeah. Aren't you great?
Listening with rapt attention.
Aren't you great,
mm-hmm.
You little brains?
That's like little britches.
I watched that that Albert Brooks movie a little bit today, Defending
right.
Your Life.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
The one, which is a great movie, but so unbelievable because even though Meryl Streep is not by any means a beauty, she's a good actress. But still,
I thought they worked well together.
She's a handsome woman.
And, of course, any movie with Rip Torn is okay with me.
But they got that scene where they make out and she's
and his kissing was gross.
She's putting her hands underneath. He's wearing like a tunic and she's putting her hands and he's got his hairy back. And
but he does this little lower lip thing when he kisses that just looks gross.
But there's a scene because the premise of this movie, Defending Your Life, is that when you die, you go back to heaven, and if you screw it up, they keep sending you back.
My favorite scene is the food when they can eat anything they want.
Yes. Mm. All you want.
All you want.
Made just for you. And they call people who have just died and gone to heaven little brains because they only use 1%. There's a great scene. Rip Torn, who's like Albert Brooks's lawyer, says, you know, how much of your brain do you think you use? And Albert Brooks is like, I don't know, 90%.
And the whole deal is if they defend their life properly and they you know, they can move on.
You get to move on.
Move on, and then it's just one big test.
Moments from your life are actually put on trial.
But it's a big test.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything. It's a test.
Right.
And then eventually, at least according to that movie, I guess, Rip Torn said, I'm saying it like it's gospel. Rip Torn said you can come back up to 30 times if you keep screwing it up.
Oh, that's great.
And I'll tell you, Lee Grant never looked lovelier.
She was the prosecutor, right?
Yeah, she was the nasty prosecutor.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, Matt. Hello, Matthew.
What did you think of 24 last night?
Oh. Listen, I didn't think it was that great.
Really?
With only, how many left? Three or four left?
I think just two now.
I didn't think enough happened last night.
Oh, I thought that was the best episode of the season.
I agree. Really?
You better watch it again.
Why? I mean, why was it great? I'll watch it again if you think so. But
it was action-packed. They caught the guy at the end, and now they're gonna.
No, but they didn't. But they didn't catch the guy. That's not definitive that they caught the guy.
They did catch him.
Rob, I don't think Buzz is.
Rob does that whenever Buzz has a counterpoint.
Rob, it would explain it.
Let's ask the caller, sir. Were you under the influence of anything when you watched the episode last night?
Were you? Were you high when you watched it? You on the
caller? Me? No, yeah. I wasn't. No.
Well, there you go.
No, right. He's shocked by the question, gentlemen.
Were you drinking?
And rightly so.
I was not.
Don't lie.
I didn't think it was the greatest I'd seen. I like 24. I didn't think it was. And furthermore, the bad guy?
Yeah.
He's just laying by the helicopter that's burning. They didn't take him into custody last night, right?
I didn't. I only watched the beginning of it, and I wanted to ask you in the office if the girl escaped. Moonface girl said they made her go back.
Moonface girl got out. Mm-hmm. And incidentally, whatever that blood is she put on her nose,
right,
on her face, she got rid of it real quick because that's how she got out.
Did they ever explain how she got the bloody nose, the fake bloody nose?
Gave it to herself. She caused a nosebleed.
Oh, really?
So that she'd have a ruse.
Yeah, she could have just picked her nose.
Yeah.
Just picked it until it bled.
Or she could have, like, pricked her finger and then rubbed it on her nose.
But I prefer the mental picture of the moon face girl just
like jamming a finger up there and working it so hard to break a vessel.
She's touching her brain. Mm-hmm. She can feel her brain. She's no blood. And then finally, hits the gusher. And that's when she says to the dumb guard, I've got the virus.
Pretty nasty.
I thought it was exciting. A lot happened. And I found this year very hard to believe, hard to buy at the beginning. Now I'm finding it easier to swallow this stuff.
And you know what? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's because I was flipping between that stupid, awful. They should all be lined up and just pummeled with baby seals. The Dick Van Dyke reunion show.
It was very sad. The word I hear is sad.
Yeah, yeah. It was awful. Fred and I were watching American Idol last night and enjoying that. We were watching 24, and then whenever there's a commercial on 24, it's turn on Dick Van Dyke.
Right.
And we'd turn it on for a second, and it'd be on like for 30 seconds. It's like, oh, this is so awful. I cannot stand to watch it.
With American Idol, you actually hit a new low in insensitive, cruel judging, where they finally drove Jasmine to a complete emotional breakdown on the stage.
Oh, that's good TV.
Yeah, that's
right.
And then that pimp Ryan Seacrest comes back and goes, well, we've had it all here. We've had tears.
But listen, that's what we love about American Idol.
Yeah, but did you see that? That show, you want to talk about uber cruelty when you've got the Fox Network, goes right in for that close-up. And they almost, such a close-up that they actually followed the tear going down.
But Mike, it won't be as cruel as it will be tonight. Because tonight,
she knows she's out.
Yeah, but for 20 minutes, she's got to sit there and pretend like she's got some type of a chance.
But okay. I'm wondering whether there's ever been a contestant that has that kind of state appeal where, I mean, she is associated so often with Hawaii, where they,
I could get every person in Hawaii to vote 10 times, and it would
make a difference.
It's like 10 Hawaiis is one Texas.
And they've only got those crank phones down there, so it's a long time to vote.
Those ones that operate on macadamia nuts.
Oh, you know what's going to be grand tonight is after she gets voted off, she has to sing that horrible song again.
Yeah, oh, no.
Yeah, she does.
Wow.
Well, that's what's great about the show.
And
listen,
Didn't you say the young boys, though, they're very fond of young Jasmine?
Yeah, I
right now think anything can still happen on
I have
show.
No prediction. I still think LaToya's going to win, but I don't know who's going to get voted out tonight. I have no idea.
Right.
Absolutely no idea. All I know is that disco rules.
I really think that they could have done better with the song selections, and I was saying to you, I think a lot of these contestants are so young, they don't remember that era, so they don't pick the big hits.
Can't relate.
Well, anyway, it's American Idol, and it's wonderful, and it's cruel. And
can I ask you a question,
fantastic.
Though?
Fantastic.
When, I forgot.
And Simon should never go first. Simon should always go last.
Yeah. Who sang the Bee Gees song?
That was LaToya London.
Isn't that like giving Donna Summer the bird? Isn't that really, sing a Bee Gees song, isn't that like saying, hey, Miss Summer?
I think with all of them, whether it's Thelma Houston, the girl that did Don't Leave Me This Way, Everlasting Love, incidentally, even though it was done by Carl Carlton. No, not a disco song.
No way. Really.
I was surprised that nobody selected the Donna Summer song to sing. I mean, are they that hard? Like Last Dance? Is that
tough? Well, you know what?
Tough?
I remember, back in the day, Donna Summer was a legitimate diva.
And all right, call me perverted, but I wanted to sing the fat girl. I wanted to see the fat girl sing Love to Love You, Baby.
Complete with all the sounds that Donna Summer made on that?
Yes.
No, I don't think, I think that's why they didn't really go, Enough is Enough was one of the worst songs she ever did.
I was hoping the fat girl would get down and do some of the things that we made the prisoners in Iraq do. That would make the performance
nice.
For me.
Yeah.
That would do it.
That was her best show, though. The Diana DeGarmo.
DeGarmo.
DeGarmo? Mm-hmm. I thought it was her best effort.
Oh, American Idol, we're talking about it. We got to call this girl who's going to be on the show is On Air with Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
We won the contest to go on the Ryan Seacrest show.
Right.
We're going to have to break here. I think we should, when we call her up, we should ask her if maybe when she's on his show, if she says something, because she gets to ask him a question. If she says, I've got two of my best friends are gay and they love you.
That's fantastic.
Can I say hi to Donna Mike? Because, that metrosexual, and everybody's so politically correct.
Of course, yeah. I'd love to. Yeah, Donna Mike, I'm glad you're a fan.
They'll embrace that.
Seacrest out. Baggy eyes out.
Well, he's busy, Mike. He's doing radio. He's doing television.
Very busy man.
He's happening.
He had a great moment last night when he came out and said, hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest. He paused for applause that wasn't there.
Right.
That was pretty good.
And then said to Simon, will you hug me later?
Yeah.
Very disturbing.
Oh, is Amy on the phone already?
Yeah.
Oh, that's her. Hey, Amy, can you hold on for a second, please?
Yes, I can.
You might? All right, thank you. When are you going out there to be on the Ryan Seacrest TV show?
It's going to be May 20th.
May 20th.
May 20th, just around the corner.
Back on the 22nd.
Okay, all right, hold on. We'll talk to you as soon as we come back, okay?
Yes.
All right, that's Amy. We left her.
There is really no other. I believe you've crystallized it. There is no better question to ask. I have two gay friends.
And if I could just take a moment of everyone's time to just say the fantastic power of the Don and Mike show, if only it worked this way. Let me just say right now, I saw a car when I was coming to work today.
Okay.
It was a Porsche. Man, it was beautiful. Porsche. That's a beautiful car.
Sure is.
Now, going on what happened with the vodka, there should be six Porsches here tomorrow.
Oh.
Because you remember last...
Well, you know, I think we'd all love that.
Sure. Last week I mentioned that effing vodka, E-F-F-E-N, that I had it and I liked it.
Right.
Well, I don't even know. Some woman in Chicago named Liz Williams, who works for the company, I guess, I don't know, heard about it. Sent me a case of vodka today. Case of effing vodka, so everybody gets a bottle of vodka today. E-F-F-E-N.
Isn't that wonderful?
Porsche. Porsche.
Yeah.
Porsche. That's a cool car. I see those everywhere. I'd love to get me one.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Porsche. I'd love to drink vodka in mine.
I understand they're real quality.
While it's parked, of course. I don't get to just sit in my garage in my Porsche drinking effing vodka.
Absolutely. Sure. So they'll, I guess by tomorrow, there'll be six of them in the garage.
By tomorrow, I guess.
Maybe by the end of the show today.
They're the best. That's all I can say.
And who are you?
Six Porsches filled with vodka.
Why, I'm Buzz Burbank.
Who are you?
Buzz Burbank.
Oh, my God.
Good afternoon, J-Star.
Yes, hi. This is Don and Mike. We're on the radio. Is Liz Williams there?
This is Liz.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Liz.
Hi,
Liz.
Guys.
Hey, I got your free vodka. Thank you. How did you... where are you? In Chicagoland, right?
312? Chicago.
312?
Yep.
We do a radio show that's not heard in Chicago. How did you hear that I discovered your effing vodka?
We keep getting messages on our website from fans of yours.
Do you think that Porsche has a website?
Hey, it's worth a try. I'll do it.
I'm sure they got a big one, Don, a big expensive one.
Here's what I'm thinking. You were nice enough. I mentioned I like that black cherry vanilla vodka.
Yeah.
Oh, is
get your recipes?
Is that so good? I don't know. Were there recipes in that box, bro? Yeah. Oh, no, here they are. Yeah, I got
right here.
Mmm. And, oh, listen, thank you very much, Liz. I appreciate it. But there must have been a mistake because in the box that I received that you were nice enough to send, there was only six bottles.
Hey, that's okay. We'll get more to you.
There, that's the magic word.
Thank you. Well, anyway.
Because really, you know, Liz, you should understand those six bottles will last you... But just the weekend?
Oh, my, please.
What is it? Tonight.
But the three, yeah, there you go, Liz. It's American Idol. Well, thank you for the free stuff.
You are welcome. And when I get some hats in, I'll send you some.
Don't bother with that, John.
Oh, just, I like that.
Just send the booze.
Just the booze.
Are they nice hats?
Right, you can't drink a hat.
They are.
Of course they are.
I'll take the hat.
Oh, and my boss wants you to know that he grew up there in D.C.
Oh, wonderful.
Very nice.
That's and he's great. A fan.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I'm sorry. I'm getting in the way of your thing.
Tell them to
you
get
want
that.
More, you want more booze.
Send more booze.
Okay.
Thank you. The good people at F and Vodka.
Yeah.
See, now that's the power of radio.
That's right. And because you've mentioned that and Porsche.
Porsche.
We'll be all set.
Cars for everybody. Well, F and Vodka, F and thanks.
F and thanks for the call.
See, that's not a commercial. That's no. You know what that is? That's Vodka Ola. That's not payola, that's vodka-ola.
Vodka-ola.
I mentioned it, I bought it, they sent me six big, gigantic bottles. So I thank them.
Man,
everybody can have one. They accept the good stuff. Boozola. That's what that is, not payola, it's boozola.
Well, and the good stuff is the stuff you like with the flavor.
Yeah, but as Rob pointed, you know, this is the way Rob's mind works. Rob is looking at the bottles of this vodka upstairs in the office, and he said, well, now the one that you like, the black cherry and vanilla... That's only 70, what is it, 70 proof?
70 proof.
70 proof. The straight stuff is 80 proof. Rob says, you should really be drinking that.
Well, he's right.
He said, well, I like, the other stuff tastes like Kool-Aid. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I told you, take some of that.
Right.
If you put two shots of that in a glass, then you get, seriously.
We've come a long way now. Don Geronimo's drinking primer.
Well, Mike, when all other substances and all other vices are taken away,
you know what?
What do you have left?
You like your fruit-flavored drink.
Oh, do I? Mm-hmm. And you take, now I'm going to sound like stupid Kathy Lee Gifford. You might as well put this on. Live with Regis and KathyLee.com.
Right.
What you do is take two shots of this vanilla vodka.
Right.
And then you get cranberry juice. Cran grape is what it's called.
Good.
You get about 6 ounces of that. Then you put just a splash of lemon juice in.
Really? Oh, this is quite... You know what?
You get about six ice cubes.
Uh-huh.
Put it in the freezer. Let it stay in the freezer for about 10 minutes.
Do you know what you're doing here?
I'm making you thirsty?
No, you created your own cocktail.
And I'm telling you...
What do you want to call it? Now, don't be flip. What do you really want to call it?
Your name. GDF.
Huh?
GDF.
GDF.
Get drunk fast.
GDF.
Because I'm not kidding. You drink it, and it doesn't taste like booze. It tastes like a creamsicle.
I'll bet it's good on ice cream.
Buzz, I bet it's good on eggs. Hell, it's good on anything. But, boy, is that tasty.
You have to fire one up sometimes.
It's not like the stuff you drink, Mike. You know, Mike drinks the stuff that makes you go...
That's good whiskey. Now, your lemon juice, is it just like a squeeze of a lemon, or is it actual
just
lemon juice?
Just a squeeze.
Just so it's like a wedge of lemon.
Just a squeeze. It's out of the bottle.
And is it in a tall glass over ice?
It's a medium-sized glass, but it's a fat glass.
So that would be a tall glass.
Yeah, tall glass. Nice.
It's not a rocks glass.
It's not. Great. You have two of those, and I guarantee you can tolerate anything your wife says. And I am living proof. She was sitting right next to me last night, prattling on during the American Idol, and I was just la, 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 whatever.
You're absolutely right, honey.
Keep talking.
You are absolutely right.
Keep talking. Keep talking about how you don't believe 24, that with the guy, first you didn't believe, last week you didn't believe that Tony would give up his life at CTU to go to trade for his wife. Then last night when his wife got released and Jack Bauer told her to go back, Frieda was sitting there saying to me, now why would she go back? She's already out. Why would she go back?
Well, I certainly hope the evening ended without her getting a nosebleed.
Yeah. Well, Mike.
This time.
Well, you know. Yeah, like I would ever give my wife a nosebleed.
Right.
Like if I ever balled my fist up to my wife, that she wouldn't just kick my ass.
Right.
Times 1,000.
She does. She's turned into Uma Thurman in Kill Bill.
She would.
Yeah, she'd like take your arm off.
We got to do this. I'm sorry. We've had simply too much fun today in the beginning of the show. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, first of all, I want to address something. I hear ESPN is trying to f*** me, and you guys are trying to make a controversy. There's not going to be a controversy. I was joking around with one of my friends, and that's it. If you don't like it, f*** you and your families, too. Now let's talk about the game.
The Don and Mike Show. Noted Bonesman, Don Geronimo, and Michael Mara.
Right. And before we talk about the guy that got beheaded, let's talk to the girl who's going on America Now. That's happy. Although, you know, we started talking about the war yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It got awful heavy in here yesterday.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want it to.
No.
At least, well, wait till the news.
It's very difficult not to get heavy when you're talking about something like that. And everybody, I think everybody feels it, too.
I did listen to Rush Limbaugh when I'm coming to work today.
Ah.
Because one thing I said yesterday was, you know, tell me why we're in this war. And have some Limbaugh ditto head call in and argue. And the guy wasn't really a good arguer. You know, he kind of repeated, I guess, what Rush Limbaugh says. So I wanted to hear him for myself. And he said something today. He's defending what's going on with the prisons. And the quote from Rush Limbaugh, and I wrote it down.
Oh.
Who was killed? Let me ask you these prison actions. Who was killed?
So, in other words, what he's saying is the only real abuse is if somebody's murdered.
Yeah, he's saying...
And there have been allegations that actually happened, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, then he's got to change...
Surfaced, but
he's got to change his tune, because I heard that today. Someone was saying, but these awful things that we're doing...
So I guess, putting an attack dog on somebody and
who was killed?
Opening up a leg...
Who was killed?
So that there's a pool of blood is, right. Among
the slip all the EIB... And then I get mad last night watching Bush saying, you know, we're going to get the people... Now, understand, here's why I'm mad. Bush is right. He says, we're going to get the people that are responsible for doing this to this guy, Nick Berg. But never in there is there the mention that this was allegedly done in retaliation for the way that our prisoners, that we treated their prisoners. How about we... Yeah, I agree. Let's find the people that did this to this American, and let's get them, and let's just stomp on them. But how about we be aggressive to find out what's going on with our guys and girls and what they're doing over there that's not right? And now, does anybody else feel that maybe it's like... I feel there's something hinky when I watch the news and they say that the Pentagon is going to show Congress more pictures and videotapes today.
That are supposedly a lot worse than what we've seen.
They're
so going
to let Congress see them for 3 hours. Then they're going to take them back. And then they're going to take some time to decide if they're going to let us, the great unwashed, see them or not.
I'm gonna mention what John McCain said yesterday morning, and it's true. Regardless of what happens, these photographs are going to leak to the press.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, and there's nothing that you can do to stop that. In this country, that's fortunately the way it works, mm-hmm. and they ought to just be completely open and let the world see what the deal is. We did this. This happened on our watch. It's out there. It's going to happen. You know, but with that said, you know, nothing justifies what we saw and what some people saw on the internet with this guy being murdered in cold blood. And these are people that if they didn't have that excuse, they'd figure out another excuse to murder somebody in cold blood.
I agree with that. It's just as I'm watching this thing and I'm watching the way that I see the Bush White House spin this, it's almost as if, and I'm just, this is me. Obviously, I've got no White House connection. Look at me, I'm a stupid disc jockey. But it's a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to take people's minds off what's happening in the prisons and say, look what happened to this guy. This is what these people are all about, which is, on one hand, absolutely true. These terrorists, this is what they're all about.
Yep. I am sure that there are the bad guys in circles that would say doing what they did yesterday, it does not help the cause. Because really, you know, we're making our own fun over there right now for our enemies. When we come out with these photographs and you see Americans doing this to Iraqis, that's hurting the cause. When you see what happened yesterday, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, and it's such a sick game when you're considering kidnapping and murder and all this, but really when you see them, it puts us back in the position of having the high ground. And so really, I would think that if you're one of these Al-Qaeda operatives that are saying, hey, I want to destroy the American way of life, there would be members of that organization that would be bright enough to realize, you know, just letting it lie right now.
Just dumb guy perspective. You live in a glass house, you don't throw stones. Here's the thing. If we're the greatest nation in the world, which we are, and we did this stuff that was bad, why don't we just step up and say, hey, we screwed up. We're not infallible. Our way is still the best way.
No, I mean, what I'm just saying is that it is a distraction when this happens, and you know they can call it revenge, whatever. These are murdering bastards that are going to murder no matter what the circumstances are.
Right.
You know, they don't have the cause. Any. It doesn't take away from the fact that we're hurting our cause by what happened over there. And anybody that's seen those photographs knows what we're looking like to the world.
And I'm listening to him today.
Yeah. You know,
who was killed?
Well, is that his justification for it? That nobody
killed? I heard it today.
Mm-hmm. Who was killed?
You may have to change that.
This is good information. This is a good psychological profiling, ladies and gentlemen. Do not let the liberal. And then they go to commercial.
Mm-hmm.
The first commercial is for like some Rush Limbaugh propaganda, something you can get in the mail, his newsletter.
Okay.
And it says, Rush Limbaugh teaches you in 10 steps how to defeat any liberal.
Because that's what it's about.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. It's all about the ideology. It's not about keeping a mind open or anything like that.
Right.
You know, can I just say one more thing about this? And I know I always say I want to say one more thing, but the way I felt, I was watching some movie or some documentary when it was talking about the GIs in World War II, when they went over to Germany and we liberated concentration camps over there. And I was watching these guys and I was hearing what they did. And in one case, they turned over some of these prison guards at the concentration camps to the prisoners and let them, mm-hmm. you know, basically rip these people apart. And,
right.
you know, that's evil as far as it's the greatest concentration camps, the greatest evil we've ever had.
Right.
I felt so proud to be an American, that we were the liberating force. You want to talk about, you know, the flowers on the street, going into these towns where these people had been abused and oppressed. It's not the way it is right now. You know, we're over there right now, and we're not, you know, the vice president said we were going to go over there, and they were going to be coming out in the streets and hugging us. It didn't happen. And that's what makes me so mad
right
now.
They're still shooting
at us. Nothing happened that we thought was going to happen.
Right.
And what are we now? I mean, what really are we to these people over there? Well, I don't know. I mean, because you get mixed signals.
Again, you know, why are we there? Just answer the question.
They didn't come out. They didn't run out of their houses and go, oh, you freed us from this dictator.
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, really, at some point you got to understand, it's a different culture. It's a different part of the world. We don't belong over there.
That's right.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right, that's it.
Sorry.
Let's talk about Ryan Seacrest. No, I brought it up first. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry, because you don't hear this.
Somebody's got to talk about
it. You don't hear this on any radio show. I'm sorry if you're bummed out about it. You know, if you want us like to cut up, we will. I promise. It's just, this is some serious stuff, and there's like 8,000 Limbaughs out there, and there's, like we said yesterday, the only guy on her side is Al Franken. And I listened to his show today, not because it's on the radio, but because it's on XM. His show stinks.
Well, it's got that Al Franken energy.
He's awful. I mean, can't we get a better... I'd rather Ralph Nader be... I know he's not the ideal... But I'd rather Ralph Nader be the spokesman for our side, for the and whatever side our side is, I'm not sure. I know it's not that other side. But Al Franken... He's the best we can do.
Hey, can I? And really, and
that guy's never was from Saturday Night Live.
You know, I'm the biggest, probably the biggest political junkie in this studio. I mean, I am. I really am. You know, I watched the election for 14 hours. The last presidential election.
Read
about the whole thing. I get totally into it. But you know, and I come from a certain political point of view. But you know what? I can't stand. I can't stand that you got to be this way or you have to be that way. I think the problem is there are too many people that say, oh, I have to have this point of view because I'm a Democrat, or I have to have this point of view because I'm a Republican. I just think everybody open your goddamn mind.
Use common sense.
Really, open your minds. Because really, have we proven with this conflict over in Iraq, there are no easy answers. It's not black and white. It's not cut and dry.
Right.
Things change every day, every week, every month. And right now, I just feel... bad about the way this country is viewed by the rest of the world. I really
don't. I don't care how the other people look at it. I don't like how I feel about America.
Yeah,
I don't
like that. That's a good point.
I don't like that we're in Iraq. That's my opinion. I don't like seeing a guy getting his head cut off on the internet. I don't like seeing us treat their prisoners bad. I don't like turning on the TV every day and hearing that more Marines and more Army guys are being killed. That's all. And Rush Limbaugh says, who was killed? Who was killed? And then I saw...
You know, with that mindset...
Hold on.
Sorry, go ahead.
Did you see the woman on TV today? The woman who's in the photos?
No.
I mean, the
woman who was...
The PFC?
Also having a relationship with another guy that was the guard?
Right. The PFC that was in these pictures, like, she's the one where they've got the bags on the head.
Is she the guy that was... The lady that was holding the leash on the guy?
Yeah, there's another one where she's like, flexing and she's smiling, and then there's another one where she's pointing her fingers at a guy's genitals like they're guns, and she's on TV today, and this is part of the problem. Nobody in this administration, in this country, in this government wants to stand up and say, yeah, we did this. She says, well, I was only following orders. Well, who gave you those orders? I can't say. I was only following orders. I was told it was good for recon. I was told it was good. If we did this, they would show these pictures to other prisoners, and they would break them down, and they told me to smile.
Mm-hmm. And right now, there's the reason this thing's not going away anytime soon. I mean, we just heard the beginning of it. I mean, you're gonna hear a lot more about this situation.
So listen, just let the pictures out and let the videotapes out. That's what seems un-American to me. All of America knows that these atrocities happened.
Right.
So, if this is the land of the free and the home of the brave, where you can say anything, everybody's entitled to have an opinion. I think most people's opinion is tell us the truth,
mm-hmm.
and we'll decide. But it makes me worry about my government when they have pictures and they have videotapes. Yes, they'll be upsetting, but they happened. It's the truth, and it's America that did it. Those people represent America.
Right.
Why not let Americans see and decide for ourselves?
When you see the pictures of that guy... that got his head chopped off by these bastards. I can't help but think we have just immersed ourselves into the most insane part of the world, and I don't see any end in sight right now. And I don't have any answers for it. I really don't.
I do. I told you. Load up the Partridge Family bus. Let's go.
The amphibious bus.
Yes, that's right. The amphibious bus.
It's Matt. We are really in...
It's not
in this insane
and look what it's
situation
done.
Right
look
now.
Look what it's done. Look at this. We took the first half hour of the show and it was gibberish. You know what we've done the last half hour? Mm-hmm. This has been substance. This is not what I got into radio for.
You got into radio
for bluff.
There you go, serving the public.
I did not. Well, let's talk to the girl that's going to be on Ryan Seacrest. Here we go. Amy.
Yes, I'm right.
Hello, Amy. Thank you for waiting so patiently. Let's see. Where's your original letter? Here it is. Now, you won a contest to go to On Air with Ryan Seacrest.
That's right.
As I'm reading your letter now, it says we'd like you to ask Ryan some questions on our behalf. Now, are you going to have a chance to sit down with him, or do you ask him questions on his chat show?
Well, I am going to be an audience member on the show, and then there's a meet and greet afterwards.
Ah, beautiful. Here's what we ask. Because if you said anything on TV, the odds of that getting on...
Yeah, they probably wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm.
But... when you get to meet Ryan Seacrest alone, do you have a video camera?
No.
You don't have a video camera.
We got to get her a video camera.
We got to get you a video camera because if you go out there and you videotape it, get somebody to videotape with you and Ryan Seacrest, and you say to him, hey, incidentally, two of my friends, they're gay, and they've been out for years, and they just love American Idol. They love you. Their names are Don and Mike.
Could you just say hi to them?
Mm-hmm.
And really, the whole fun of that will be you saying, you know, two of my gay friends.
Because
I could hold up the sign on his show at the beginning.
Nah. You know, that's too TRL. No. If you got one-on-one time with that tool, really, if you and you know, you were nice enough to send us this letter, then really, even we'll get you a video camera. Because then we can take the audio from that.
It's just like, you know, video camera. I'm sure people bring video cameras to if they're going to have a meet and greet. And
sure.
They want to get pictures with Ryan Seacrest.
It says on the itinerary that I'm not allowed to bring a camera.
Oh, well, that's that. I mean, that's the end of that tune.
Mm.
Well, then I guess you're going to have to ask him on camera.
Or maybe just shout our names out when the...
Just got to say, Gay Don and Mike love you.
Just say, Gay Don and Mike. Gay Don and Mike.
I can hold up a sign. I mean, I don't know if he's actually going to, like, come.
Nah. Mm. But... Can't you scream? How many people are on? I've never seen his girl talk show, but...
Right, it's on at 5 o'clock in this market, so it's on opposite when you guys are on.
Does it say you can't take the camera to the meet and greet or just to the taping of the show?
I've got all the information with me right now.
Well, you don't have to look right now. But...
you just really, I mean, when people go nuts, like when he comes out on stage, right?
Right.
Well, you know how when somebody, you hear the last few, woo! You hear that last...
Sure, I can say... Just, I can yell out.
Just say, Don and Mike, gay!
I can do that.
Gay! Don and Mike,
that,
gay!
That, and really, shouting down Don and Mike isn't going to do it for us, but if you shout, Don and Mike, gay! Gay Don and Mike!
And then Gay Don and Mike love Ryan Seacrest.
Sure, I can do that.
There you go. There you go.
And then, you know, maybe is it like TRL? Because I've not seen... Is it like one of those shows where he picks out the most spastic girl out of the audience?
What are you yelling?
Up?
Can you tell me what you're yelling? Well, I have two friends who are gay, Don and Mike, and they're your biggest fans.
Sure, mm-hmm. I could say that. I don't know anything about TRL because not only do I not have a video camera, I don't even have cable TV.
Hold on now, honey.
Wow.
How can you not have cable TV? I mean, you know, listen, I would let you go if you didn't have satellite. You don't even have cable?
No.
Why don't you have cable?
Because we thought it was too expensive.
Some people, you know, with prices, Don.
Mike, no,
I understand. Don's theory has always been
a priority.
Food is not put on the table, right. But you do have cable TV.
You gotta have basic
required.
Cable.
You know, even health care is expensive, but most people find the money for that.
That's you equate a health care with television.
Honey, me happy. Honey, me alive.
You gotta just have basic. You mean you don't?
Don, would you advocate skipping a few meals each week in order to have a basic cable service?
Yes. As a matter of fact, you want to know a diet that works? South Beach doesn't work. Atkins doesn't work. You take away my TV, I guarantee I'm going to look as skinny as those guys on Survivor.
You starve.
Not counting Richard. Not
starving.
Starving. Not counting Richard Hatchett and Rupert, who's
right.
Not called our show.
And you'll just rub yourself on somebody.
So you are going to be in California next week?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Then what we ask is, please, Amy, Don and Mike, gay!
Yes, I can do that.
Love you, Ryan Seacrest.
I can do that.
And we can get... What if we got you a tape recorder? Does it say you can't bring a tape recorder?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'll probably get a copy of the show, like, after it's on. I mean, I can...
No. Not videotape. Audio tape.
I think we got to go, really. I bet they wouldn't let her bring a tape recorder in either. If they're not letting her bring a camera. If she... What we have to do is we have to make sure that our friend here... screams that out there. And wait till it dies down, okay? Wait till everybody's quiet and he's starting his little monologue. And that's when he goes, Gay Don and Mike, love you.
Yeah, I can do that.
I think it's a live show.
Yes, it is.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Oh,
well, that's the way to do it. It's a winner.
Listen, winner.
I would gladly trade three meals a week for WTBS alone.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Ted Turner Superstation, the Atlanta Braves. Three meals a week.
Hey, if she succeeds, don't you? Would there be some way we could arrange to pop for a couple of months of cable for her?
We'll get you a year's worth of basic cable, darling.
Thank you, Don and Mike.
Wouldn't that be great? That makes it worth screaming the names out, doesn't it?
You've always been there for me.
Oh, that's
right.
Now,
sweet.
Let's do a little rehearsal here. When Ryan Seacrest is about to begin his monologue and the crowd settles down, what are you going to jump?
Thank you.
What are you going to stand up and scream?
Thank you.
Yay, Don and Mike. Gay Don and Mike.
Well, that would work.
Or you could say, Gay Don and Mike love you.
Okay. Gay Don and Mike love you.
That's got to be the... Ryan, Gay Don and Mike love you.
And it's
Ryan,
gonna seem,
Gay Don and Mike love you.
It's going to seem silly, but when you say it up, because that's where the crowd mics are. Don't say it to Ryan. Point it to the ceiling. That's how you get on the...
All right. Thank you.
Television
true,
City. Jack Parr.
That's right.
Okay.
Get out of here.
Thanks, Freddie the Cordova.
There you go.
Thanks, Gelman.
And Amy,
how old are you?
27, or I will be next week.
What the hell are you doing winning a contest to go on Dopey Ryan Seacrest show?
Well, it's like this, Don. Like, I admire him. Just like I admire you.
You're funny. I like you.
Really?
That is funny.
Really, how did you, what kind of contest did you enter to win this?
There was this website. He has this little slogan, go where no fan has gone before. You know.
God. You're wonderful.
So I entered.
And you won.
You entered,
right.
And you won.
I haven't won anything before in my
life. And then when the crowd settles down, what are you going to yell out?
Ryan, Gay, Don, Mike, love you.
That's right. That's fantastic, Amy.
I have confidence in her. I think she's going to pull it
off. Yeah. Amy, darling, would you please to be describing yourself so we can know who you are on this TV show? We'll watch it next week.
What would you like to know?
Best celebrity you most resemble?
Now, that is a hard question.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my.
Help me out.
Okay.
Do you have facial hair?
Sometimes.
Oh, my. Well, hi. How are you? What color hair do you have?
It's brown, and I got it highlighted with blonde.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that means that there's a desire there. Yes, Rob?
Then she looks like Judith Light.
Judith Light.
Okay. We can go with that. I'm much younger than she is.
Could you find maybe a celebrity that you're close to?
Do you look anything like that Diana
DiGiarmo?
DiGiarmo?
Somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've also heard Deborah Winger, but you guys think she is dirty.
Well, now she's not dirty like nasty. She's like unwashed dirty. Do you bathe all the time, Amy?
Absolutely.
Well, there. So you're a little bit like Deborah Winger?
Well, that's what I've been told.
Have you
guys thought that she was dirty?
No. Amy?
Yes.
Have you bathed today?
Absolutely.
Good.
Was it a shower or a tub?
I took a shower this morning.
Very nice.
How long was the shower?
20 minutes.
It's not like it used to be on the show. I'm just trying to find out about her cleanliness, Mike.
Your hygiene.
I can always enjoy these segments.
I know.
I was about to do my breathing exercise.
I know. Well, Amy, listen, we won't judge you.
Thank you.
Judging Amy.
How?
But if you do bad, we'll have to chase you.
That's fine.
Chasing Amy.
And, of course, on the show, Amy, what you going to do?
I'm going to yell out, Ryan, Gay, Don, Mike, love you.
Thank you.
There you go. I thought you were doing the pure period.
I was.
Yeah.
But it was so subtle and
what
seamless.
What you going to do?
I think I could stay with you for a while, maybe longer if I do.
Can you name the other Pure Prairie League band hit?
You're asking me?
No, I'm asking Mike.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, I know this.
Mike? Let me love you tonight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, country crossover.
The sun and the moon and the light. And the
let me love you tonight.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. Rob, don't bother looking them up in your book.
Curious.
Don't look. You're curious like Larry King is curious.
And remember, talk up. Don't talk at him. Talk up.
I'll practice every day until I go.
That's where the microphones are at.
Hey, you had it right, though. Television.
Yeah. There he is. Oh, hi, I'm Rob Spiewak. Let me explain how TV works.
He has those mics in his ceiling at his house.
Right.
If we did a show before a live studio audience, Rob would be the guy that would warm up the studio.
Oh, he's the warm-up. You bet.
Absolutely.
You bet he is. All right, Amy, listen, let us know, what day is it next week you're going out there?
I'm going out on the 19th, and then the show is on the 20th.
All right, so you're going out next Thursday, and the show's next Friday?
No, other way around.
Okay.
Tuesday, and the show is on Thursday.
I got it. All right, well, do your best. We'll turn the show on. God knows we don't want to have to watch the whole show, so see if you can do it right at the beginning.
I will. It's at 5 o'clock on Channel 20.
All right, you got it. Thank you for thinking of us, Amy, and thank you for listening.
I love you, Don. Like, I mean it.
Oh, we love you, too.
Thank you, Amy.
Goodbye.
You're so nice.
Goodbye.
Hold on. Just before you go.
She's gone. She's gone. What did you want to do?
Can we get her back on the phone real quick?
Yeah, no problem.
Hold on. Got something special for her?
Oh, I wanted to say hi to her neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
She lives next door to Eric.
Oh, okay.
She lives next door to a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
The late Eric.
Who used to work here.
Okay. Yeah.
The late Eric Bickle.
Well, they leave here and really they're
hello,
dead to
Simon
us.
Mike.
Hey, tell Eric we said hi.
I'll do that.
Do you see him much?
I do.
Does he talk all the time about wishing he was working here instead of the other place he's working?
No, Don and Mike.
No, he doesn't? Okay.
No, Don.
All right, well, tell him we said hi. We sure do miss
him. Yeah, if you ever drop over for coffee, he's got quite a collection of films, I understand.
Yes.
So I've heard.
Uh-huh. He does.
But he also has a beautiful wife and two incredibly beautiful children.
Oh, he's got another one.
He's got two now.
That's how out of the loop we are.
Wow. Well, tell him congratulations for us.
Please do tell him we miss him.
I'll do that.
Okay, thank you. And again, your name is?
Amy.
You know, we do that because we love you.
You already told me.
Yeah, we do that to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just waiting until it gets around to the hook again. Just give me one second. I guess I got one more. Amy?
Yes.
The guy we used to work with?
Eric.
Your next door neighbor?
Yes.
What's his name?
Eric.
Eric who?
Bickle.
Almost.
Yeah, so close. Almost. It's always that, you know, we want the full name.
Yeah, Eric Bickle. All right, thank you, Amy.
Okay, bye.
All right, we love you.
I love you, too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
It's a lot of love in that conversation.
So long, chubby.
She's awfully nice.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Take care, Krispy Kreme.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Percodan is addictive. I'm in London doing Royal Command Performance. And I have a bookie who takes my bets for horse races in London. And I told him my problem, that England doesn't have what I need, and I'm running out. He said, it's okay, I'll get a bloke for you. Okay. He tells me that if I go to Green's Delicatessen in Soho at midnight after my show, a man will come over to me and bring me 10 Percodan. He said, just bring cash. I said, fine. He brought me 10. I gave him $1,000. I had the 10 Percodan that only took me through three quarters of the next day. That's how bad it was. So I'm getting in terrible trouble now because the Percodan's not even working.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, Julia. Hi.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
We're broadcasters. In our business, morals are one thing, but ratings are everything.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
The cure for pronated foot. The Don and Mike Show.
Charlie interview coming up.
All right.
Here.
Cool.
What is the story, Buzz? You're going to have to help me. I saw it on something on the web before it came in today. Letterman is mad at the Miami Heat because the basketball team, I said,
what are they doing?
I don't care that they're in the playoffs, but they're still hanging around. They got a guy that comes out in between quarters and does a Letterman impression. And Letterman...
Is it that same guy that we have the tapes from?
No, I don't know who this guy is, but Letterman's pissed.
Really?
Does not like it.
Like, comes out like he really is Dave Letterman? Or
I've heard this. He's a David Letterman impersonator.
Like a bit, like he's a lookalike too?
Go to the Miami,
Miami Herald.
Go to MiamiHerald.com, Buzz. And that's where the story is.
Mm-hmm. What he's doing is top 10 lists that make fun of the opposing city.
Oh, okay. So, all right.
They're presenting it like it's really a
Letterman. So he's
yeah.
He's stealing Dave's intellectual property, yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Mom?
Yeah. And
you go back to the locker room?
This is a follow-up on a show that hasn't even aired yet. Remember I told you about the WB show that was going to be like American Idol, except right. The joke is really on the people who were on the show?
Yeah, and they're going to get people that really have no talent and pretend that they do have talent, pretend that they're winners, and then they're going to drop the bomb on them at the end.
Right. Well, the show's not on the air yet.
Okay.
The name of the show is, hold on, give me a second, Superstar USA.
Okay.
Here's why they're in trouble. They told the studio audience, because these people are awful. Now, keep in mind, the joke is on the people who are performing. The people are as good, like, as William Hung.
Okay.
But the producers are telling them they're fantastic, and the audience is going crazy.
I would imagine it'd be tough to keep that under wraps. Yeah.
Even tougher than that, how would you get the audience to be in on the joke?
Right.
To root for these awful people, unless you had paid the audience. And they said the audience was not paid. You know what they did? They told the audience before every taping that the people that were performing were in the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh, my
God. I am not kidding.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding. They said these are terminally ill patients.
Oh, my God.
With the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
So they duped the audience, too?
Of course, because apparently the contestants on this show,
I can't imagine why they're in trouble.
The Superstar USA, apparently the contestants are so bad that an average audience of schmucks off the street would not cheer for them.
Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I understand you don't want to cheer for these people, but they've all got brain cancer.
They thought that they would laugh, and they did a couple of test tapings where the audience was booing these people because they're so bad. Wow. So they figured out that they would do this, and now it's gotten out. The show may never get on the air.
So they lied to the entire studio audience.
The show, Superstar USA, may never get on the wish because Superstar USA may never get on the air because Make-A-Wish found out about this.
Yeah. They're not happy.
Somebody who was in the audience called up Make-A-Wish and said, hey, this is really great what you're doing with this show, Superstar USA.
We're not doing anything with Superstar.
They said, we're not doing anything.
You'll be sorry, Pee-Wee Herman.
And all of the audience members get paid, by the way.
They get paid.
Yeah.
But you know, they get paid on a lot of shows, Buzz.
Right, more and more, true.
There are a lot of shows in Hollywood. You see guys walking around with a sign that says, do you want to go on the show?
And it's one of the main reasons I bought my Showtime rotisserie oven.
Why?
You pay the audience so that the Ron Popeil can say, set it and forget it.
And forget it. Okay, here. Buzz, thank you for looking this one up.
Certainly. There it is from the Miami Herald.
David Letterman, a publicist for David Letterman, called the Miami Heat on Tuesday to get details of a Letterman impersonation that ran on their scoreboard during a timeout. It's a fake top 10 list. It's not Dave's list, and it's not Dave, says David Letterman's spokesperson. Now, isn't that weird?
Well, now it's making more sense. Now, if this was a televised thing, if this was something where they produced it and then ran it on their telescreen during the game, they probably made it look as much like the real David Letterman show as possible, and that's, they got a legitimate beef.
Oh, I don't think so. I think Letterman should be happy that anyone is even mentioning him.
Yeah, true. But before they ran the piece of tape, they said Dave was terminally ill.
Make-A-Wish Foundation.
They paid them.
Well,
I would judge that based on what the tape was.
That's like if Letterman got mad. Let me read this story. Buzz just gave it to me. In the segment, Letterman offered a top 10 list. Why Miami is better than my home state of Indiana? Is this because
are they playing the Pacers?
Playing the Python?
No,
I don't think so.
They play on the Letterman thing. Being from Indiana,
sand between your toes beats dirt between your teeth. That's one of the top 10 things.
Oh, that's awful.
He showed Letterman on the scoreboard and did not make clear. Oh, hold on, I get it. Wait, hold on.
It sounds like to me like maybe they flashed a picture of Letterman and then they just put up the top 10 list.
Uh-huh. But it says a Letterman impersonation.
Yeah, probably a vocal impersonation, and then they show a picture of Dave.
Mm. Well, still I would.
Here are the top 10 reasons. Mm. You just have some guy do that.
Still, I wouldn't be mad if I was Letterman.
Well, if it sucks though, I think his feeling is it reflects badly on him.
Like, then how come we've never gotten a call?
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave. Listen, you've never been funnier than you've been this morning. Either that, or I'm all goofy on Pop-Tarts.
We got as many people listening right now as watch that goddamn basketball game on TNT Monday night.
And we've played those tapes for a few years.
Hey, how you doing, pal? You know what? Your brand of comedy reminds me of my mom's mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Lumpy and tasteless.
Who knew Letterman had a publicist? All right. Make-A-Wish. I wanted to make sure I mentioned Make-A-Wish. Charlie time. Charlie, Stu Ang Stablack.
How's it working?
This is the Don.
Don't break.
False alarm.
Don't break.
Equipment malfunction.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? You didn't believe me about Machine 6, did you? Really? In your heart, you didn't believe me?
I did.
You said, is it Machine 6? I said, yes, it would. I don't know why it would be Machine 6.
No, but no, what I said is that it's always Machine 6.
Try 5. Try 5. You know Charlie loves ice cream.
He does.
Oh, yeah.
It's ice cream month. Hey, Charlie.
God.
Come on in. Hi, Charlie.
Are you mad?
I'm not mad at you.
You're angry.
I'm not mad at you,
and
Charlie.
And when you get angry, I get frightened.
Charlie. What did Joan Crawford say in that great movie? I'm not mad at you.
I'm mad at the dirt.
Mad at the dirt.
I know, Don. And I love ice cream.
I know you do.
I love meaty ice cream.
So did you have a chance, Don? You have a chance to enjoy the wonderful weather? I see.
Oh, yes, Don. Oh, yes.
You're wearing your overalls today?
Yes, I actually take care of the facility. When the weather gets warm. I have a good time. I do painting, yard work, but I'm afraid to be outside now.
Why?
Cicadas!
Those are just
those
bugs?
Are the big bugs.
Yeah.
But those of you around the rest of the country, those are the big bugs that come out of the ground every 17 years.
That's right, Charlie.
Charlie, thank you for helping.
You scare me. Yikes.
Thank you for helping the rest of the country know what you were talking about.
I'll tell you a secret.
A secret? Tell me. I'm ready.
Mr. Hall is angry at you.
Wendell Hall?
Yes, he's very mad.
He's not mad at me. He's mad at Mike.
He's mad at Mike.
He's mad at Mike.
He's really mad at Mike.
Right, because Mike said something about him at the beginning of the show.
He was leaving, and he was pulling out in his sports car, pulling out of the building.
Yeah?
And he said, wait till smart...
Yeah, sure.
Wait till smart-ass O'Mara meets my friends, Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson.
Oh.
Wow.
Mike should have known better than to set off our engineer, Wendell Hall.
Mr. Hall makes me taste his revolver.
He's a very sensitive man.
He's very sensitive. So am I. You know, I cry all the time.
Did Wendell really ever
Mr. Linewine's very nervous today.
Oh, well, that's because...
His boss is in town.
Hey, Charlie, did you see that guy, Scott Herman?
Yes.
Who does he look like?
Bobby Bacala.
He's a dead
That's what Mr. Spiewak told me to say.
He's a devil.
Mr. Spiewak also said, Charlie, whatever you do, hate all managers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
hate them bad. Hate them bad.
That's good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie?
I don't know.
Quick question.
Yeah.
What's your favorite food?
I have two.
Pick one. Pick one.
Pizza.
Charlie.
No, Dom, why did I get the buzzer?
What's your other favorite food?
Ice cream.
Ice cream.
I love ice cream.
Well, good.
But that's not a food, that's a dessert. Dom,
haven't you had ice cream for breakfast before?
Yes, but haven't it's you a had dessert. Ice,
haven't you had it for lunch?
Yes.
Haven't you had it for dinner? Haven't you had an entire meal just of ice cream?
I actually like to put it on my stomach at night and let it melt into my belly button. And then scoop it up with my fingers and lick it off. That's the best way to enjoy ice cream. And if it's chocolate chip, you can pick out the nuts.
So to speak.
Yes. It's delicious, Don.
But you
have tonight had... I'm partying with Chief Engineer Mr. Diggs.
Oh, that's very nice.
You're going out
Bacardi
with...
Bacardi Limon.
You're going out with... Hey,
call me Mr. Diggs. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. And then Mr. Hall's going to take me out for pizza.
Is he really?
And then he makes me run behind his car, though.
And do you get to taste his guns?
Not likely. I just wanted to say that.
Oh.
I heard that in a movie once. Not likely, I reckon. That's like the Western talk. It's not likely, I reckon. I reckon we're going out for pizza.
Charlie, did you?
Reckon we're going out for pizza.
Did you or did you not?
Mr. Hall cut his hair off.
I saw that. He has a short haircut.
Yep.
Did you or did you not?
I can pick up his whole sports car.
Not surprised.
I can, Don, because I'm so scary strong. I reckon.
Did you have ice cream for breakfast today?
Yes, I did.
So?
I had peppermint stick, my favorite. Friendly's peppermint stick.
What'd you have for
That's
lunch?
That's the best kind.
What kind of ice cream for lunch?
I had it the right time. I had a sandwich first.
And then you had...
Tuna fish sandwich. Uh-huh. And then I had egg ice cream.
Egg ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Ice cream made with eggs.
That sounds good.
Yuck.
Isn't it all, though, in a way?
Yes. Isn't it all in a way?
It should be.
Explain that joke, Charlie.
I don't know.
Explain that.
Explain what?
It's all egg.
It's all egg.
How is that?
Isn't it come from cream?
Doesn't what come from cream?
From the egg. It all comes from the egg.
What does?
You're confusing me. You're directly confusing me.
You're right, Charlie. Eggs are often used in the making of ice cream.
That's right, Mr. Burbank. Mm-hmm. You're always the one who helps me.
See, I knew that, but I didn't know that Charlie really knew that.
Well, I
did. Mr. Hall's car weighs 19 stone. Lada! Jayla!
Oh, now he's just...
Hello, Joan.
Now he's just screaming at ladies.
Joan Lada works here. Hello, Mrs. Lada.
Oh, she's doing a kiss.
Yay!
She came by the window to give you a kiss, Charlie.
That's right, Don. That's right. Can I play with Mr. Earnhardt's statue?
No.
Please?
No, that is a tribute to the late Dale Earnhardt.
Why can't I play with it? It's a doll.
No, it's not a doll.
It is a doll.
It's a collectible figurine.
Please? I promise I won't break it. Please? Please, Don, please? Please, go, please, 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 please.
All right, go ahead. Right. Play with the Dale Earnhardt statue.
Better let him.
Go ahead.
All right. Man, we got a fast car. We think we're gonna win that race today. God needs us. Hi, Dale. This is a statue. A statue of Dale Earnhardt.
Don't break it.
And
down.
Look, Mr. Spiewak X'd out his eyes.
Why is that, Charlie?
Because he's not alive.
He's dead.
Oh, and he's got a watch around his neck.
Hey, Charlie?
Yes, Don?
Whatever you do, don't break that Dale Earnhardt statue.
Why?
Because it's so valuable. Whatever you do, don't break it.
I won't.
Whatever you do.
I like it, Don. I like it.
Whatever you do.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I broke his arm. Oh, my God.
Well, whatever you do, don't break his other arm off.
I won't. I was just trying to hold it. I was trying to hold it, and I thought that it would be... Oh, no.
You killed him all over again.
Oh, he's hollow.
No.
You know what?
Oh, no. There are chips of Mr. Earnhardt everywhere. Whoa, white chocolate.
White chocolate, Charlie.
Is that white chocolate? Ow!
It's
on my lip.
See, that didn't...
We got a bleeder.
See, that didn't come from eggs, did it?
No, that did not come from
eggs. Where did that statue come from?
The statue place where they make them. The place where they make the statues. Hi, Hepe. Hepe. I wish I could grow my hair like he had one time.
That's right.
It was all curly.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, Don. Where did the statues come from? That came from character. Yes.
Character.
Call Lecti Bless.
Oh, collectibles.
Uh-huh.
CharacterCollectibles.com. Sorry, Dale. You're broken in two. Can I have his body?
Yeah, you can have his head.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
that. That's good head.
This is a funny show. I love coming in here because it gets me out of the backwoods where the cicadas hide.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Earnhardt had one hell of a day. He's all broken up. Smashing! Oh, my God. We're having some fun now.
Are you ready for a Charlie adventure?
I would love to have a Charlie adventure. Can I go on one? Let's go on one now.
Here's the Charlie show today. Charlie, here is bad news.
Bad news.
Charlie, bad news.
Bad news, dog.
Talk into the microphone, Charlie.
What?
Talk into the other side of the microphone.
God! What a retard I am. Sorry about that. Man, oh, man, a Shevitz.
Did you know?
VD. Can you do it for me? Please do it for me.
Only if you tell me what your name is.
My name is Charlie Stewart Stabler.
VD.
It's for everybody. Not just. That's a funny song. That's about a disease.
Do you know what VD is?
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, I kind of know.
What do you think it is?
It hurts down. There. You know?
Well, you're close.
It hurts where you tinkle.
Yes, well, that's good.
That's what it is.
Did you ever have it?
No.
You didn't?
Not exactly.
You kind of had it, didn't you?
Well.
You did.
There was odor. That's all.
What's your name again?
Charlie Stuang Stabler. That is a great show.
It's all right.
I'm sorry. I've been in here too long anyway.
That's
for sure.
Charlie?
Will I get ice cream after this segment? They told me that I'm coming in to eat ice cream.
Hold on. No, you're not. No, ice cream prices are going up this summer.
No!
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes, you.
Really?
We have OPEC to thank for $2 a gallon gas, and it's Canadian.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Canadian cows.
You're confusing me.
The cost of milk from cows is going up to $4 a gallon.
But ice cream is made from eggs.
and milk, Charlie.
Lots of milk.
I don't understand.
It's mainly milk. More milk.
Are you going to make me do an interview where I don't understand what I'm talking about?
More milk than eggs. Here's all you have to know, Charlie.
I just have to talk about ice cream, right?
Ice cream costs too much.
Mm.
And you're going to be talking to Hank Sweeney.
I can barely find two nickels to rub together now.
You're going to be calling Hank Sweeney.
And they're made out of wood. They're wooden nickels.
Huh.
Don't take any.
Hank Sweeney has something
don't
to...
Don't take any wooden nickels. No. Get it?
Got it.
Something to do with ice cream.
I'm just going to ask him about ice cream, right?
Right.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me, 2-3 for you.
Why it's so expensive, Charlie.
John, is he expecting my call?
I believe he is, Charlie.
Now, that's a good thing.
What entry? Hello, Cisco Unity Messaging System.
Hello. My name is... Hello?
Here we go.
Hi. Sorry. My name...
I did not recognize it. Valid entry.
My name is...
Hello.
Hello.
Cisco Unity Messaging System.
My name is...
From a touchscreen telephone,
hold
you may
on.
Dial an extension at any time.
2-3
I hate that
four.
Thing where it's a machine. It was supposed to convenience us.
Transfer your call.
Here we go. Now we're going to get through. The guy's name is Hank.
Do I do it? My...
Do it. You're going to voice. You're going to voice.
Oh, hello.
He's expecting your call.
What's his name?
This Hank.
Hank Sweeney.
Hank Sweeney.
Yes.
Yeah. May I speak to Mr. Hank Sweeney, please?
This is?
Yes, Mr. Sweeney. Will you hold for a minute? You're going to be interviewed by Charlie Stuhlwang Stabilek.
You pulling a James Capers on?
Can you hold on, please?
Sure.
He'll be right with you. Hello, Mr. Sweeney.
Yes.
My name is Charlie Stuhlwang Stabilek, and we're on the air.
Okay.
And I'd like to ask you about ice cream.
All right.
I understand you're the man to talk to about ice cream.
Well, I...
You know all there is to know about ice cream. Am I right?
I do have some knowledge of ice cream, yes.
Okay, what is your favorite?
My favorite is good old vanilla.
Oh, but it doesn't have anything in it.
Charlie, you're supposed to ask him about why ice cream prices are going up.
What?
Why ice cream prices are going up.
What? Why ice cream... Okay, Mr. Sweeney.
Yes.
Why ice cream prices are going up.
Well, there's several reasons for the ice cream prices going up. Basically, it's the shortage of milk in the country that is caused by...
See, I told you, that's the milk, not the eggs.
I don't understand. I don't understand.
Charlie, I thought you knew where ice cream
I
came from.
I thought you wanted me to talk about ice cream, Don.
You were talking about ice cream, why it costs so much.
Why does it cost so much, Mr. Sweeney?
Well, there's, like I said, there's several factors. The number one reason is there's a shortage of milk. There's
Mr. Sweeney.
Enough milk to go around.
Mr. Sweeney, does some ice cream cost more than others? Like if it's got more candy in it? Like, that logic would follow. That
depending on what type of add-ins there would be, yes, it would be more expensive.
Mm. Well, thank Christ that chocolate... Thank Christ the chocolate costs remain static.
Well, chocolate is one of the ingredients that cocoa itself has
thank Christ.
Quite a bit in the last couple of years as well.
I like Cocoa Puffs.
They're not ice cream.
Do you ever, Mr. Sweeney?
Yes.
Do you ever pour milk over your ice cream to make the ice crystals and have it taste better?
Well, that we call that a milkshake.
No, Mr. Sweeney, it's different.
Charlie?
You pour the milk, what?
Charlie, at your average grocery store, Ben & Jerry's is going up 8%, and a Klondike bar costs 10 cents more now. Charlie?
You'll have to pay 10 cents more for a Klondike bar.
Charlie?
The president lives in the White House. Doesn't he, Mr. Sweeney?
Last time I checked, yes.
Do you like me?
I'm not sure yet.
My name is Charlie Stuhlwang Stabilek.
Everybody likes Charlie.
Of course. All right, what is your favorite dessert besides ice cream, and do you like to eat ice cream with it? Like pudding, cake, what have you, whatnot.
Actually, ice cream is my favorite dessert.
Mine too. Oh, it is my favorite. You just like vanilla. Would you like to know my favorites? There are many of them.
Oh.
Would you like to hear?
Sure.
I like Rocky Road, French Silk, chocolate chip, mint chocolate chip, peppermint stick.
I also
like Chunky Monkey.
Which of those would be the most expensive?
Of all the ones I just mentioned.
Well, you know, all of them are you know, if you're looking at Rocky Road, it's got chocolate in it. Also, it depends on the amount of butterfat that's in the ice cream.
Cake and ice cream are a swell coupling, don't you think?
Ice cream?
What? Is it going to be expensive all summer?
Yes.
How about ice cream bars? Will they be expensive, too?
Chances are they will be as well.
Oh, God! Ice cream sandwiches?
Everything to do with ice cream is going to be more expensive this
year. What about hot fudge or butterscotch?
Well, hot fudge and butterscotch are... their base ingredients are milk-based, so they're going to be more expensive this year as well.
Where does butter go, Mr. Sweeney?
Butter...
goes on toast.
It goes
right?
on toast.
Yes. Butter goes on toast.
Mm-hmm.
Syrup goes on pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
Hot fudge goes on ice cream.
Yes.
Salt and pepper go on your hamburger if you want it.
That's true.
Cheese goes on macaroni. And come on. Come on, Mr. Sweeney. Give me the next one.
Give him the first part, Charlie.
Cheese goes on macaroni.
And
we all go to the pool. You know that one, don't you?
Say that one again,
wow.
Charlie.
Huh?
Say that one again.
I can't remember it.
Maybe he's not heard that one before.
Cheese goes on macaroni, and we all go to the pool.
We all go to the pool.
Yes. Hot fudge goes on ice cream.
Yes.
Ketchup goes on french fries.
Yes.
You can go all day with this stuff.
Yeah.
And... that's the way it works normally.
Cheese goes on macaroni.
And Grecian formula goes on Mr. Burbank.
And we all go to the pool.
And we all go to the pool. Isn't that right, Mr. Sweeney?
Apparently, yes.
Can you say something for me, Mr. Sweeney?
What's that?
Can you say, everybody, where do you work? What's the name of the place you work at?
Classic Mix.
Can you say that everybody at Classic Mix loves Charlie?
Everybody at Classic Mix loves Charlie.
I love you, Mr. Sweeney. You're a good man. Time to call it a day, Mr. Sweeney. I got to run.
Okay.
There's bugs to pick up. Big bugs. What are the big bugs in Washington, D.C., Mr. Sweeney?
I bet he doesn't know.
I bet he does, Don.
He doesn't.
I bet he does. What are the bugs? Wait, I want to ask him, please.
Let me ask him, Don. Find out where he is, Charlie.
Where do you live?
In Wisconsin.
Okay, here's the question. What are the bugs that come out of the ground every 17 years?
Yeah, you have no idea, Charlie. He doesn't live in the D.C. area.
I don't know.
He doesn't? They're cicadas. They're bugs.
How can you not know? They're going to rip our faces off.
What it is, sir, it's...
they got the red eyes. The like, evil red eyes.
It's like a litmus. It's an IQ test for people.
Yeah.
If you overreact to the cicadas, it's a sign of low intelligence.
Blue 128.
They're bugs that come out... they are bugs that come out of the ground every 17 years.
803.
People are really overreacting
to that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chicago!
All right, well, thank you for being on the Charlie Show, and thank you for giving us your view on why ice cream prices are going up this summer.
Mr. Sweeney, it's been a little slice of heaven.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sweeney.
All right.
Okay, people who ignore cicadas tend to be selfish.
I'll remember that.
Thank you. You have a good day, okay?
You too.
Thank you. Bye then.
Bye.
You can hang up now, Mr. Sweeney.
Okay.
Okay, put the phone in the receiver. Put it in the cradle, man. It was good people, Don. It was really good people.
Good interview, Charlie. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you giving me the airtime.
Oh, no problem, Charlie.
Hi, Rob.
Before you leave, can I ask...
Bank in Hawaiian today.
Can I ask you one question?
Bye.
Bye to who?
To Dale.
Oh, Dale Earnhardt, the statue you
broke. He's pretty broken up about this. You get it? I broke the statue in two. Yeah.
What's your name?
Charlie Stuang Stabilak. He's for everybody. There is pants. Dale's pants.
Dale Earnhardt statue that you broke.
It's not. I think you're going to be okay here. I got glue. I got lots of glue at home. Good. Every kind you're not. I got glue stick. I got Elmer's glue. I got rubber cement. I got everything. And I got my favorite.
What's that?
Crazy glue. That can make a construction worker hang by his head. Fantastic. I got igloo.
I got a call for you, Charlie.
Who's up for a Klondike bar?
Hello, Charlie.
Tom!
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Tom.
What's going on?
Tom, talk in your real voice. Don't imitate
me. Hey, Charlie.
How are you, Tom?
Good.
What's happening?
What's happening with you, buddy?
I'm just working, doing an interview about ice cream. How you been?
Good.
Hey, Tom, hold on. Hey, Charlie.
Go ahead.
Last thing.
Yeah.
You want to do the VD thing with Tom?
Yeah.
And ask him his name?
Yeah, okay. Oh, this will be funny. Hey, Tom?
Yeah?
What is your full name?
Thomas Aloysius Gavin.
VD. You get it, Tom? They just said you have VD.
No.
Yes. Watch it.
I did.
Tom has VD.
No, I don't, Charlie.
Yes, you do. No, you do.
You do.
You don't talk like me. Don't talk like me.
Charlie, you do.
Don't talk like me.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes, Tom.
You do have VD.
I know I do. All right. Isn't it great? Bye, Tom.
Bye. Charlie, thank you for coming by.
John, it's really been
Charlie.
A pleasure. But yes, Tom?
My T-shirts are coming out.
Yeah.
TomGavin.com. Anybody out there listening?
Anybody out there listening to Tom?
Yep.
His T-shirts are coming out.
Website is up.
Yeah.
Webcam is on and what? Everything is well.
Okay. I'm getting a headache.
Okay, thanks. Bye, Tom.
Yeah, bye, Tom. Ice cream is costly.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Charlie. Let's do our ABCs.
Tommy left.
He's gone, Charlie. I mean, Tom.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, Tom.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, how are you, Tom?
Good, Mike.
Hey, good to see you, Tom.
Yeah. Charlie's gone.
It's just like magic, isn't
Charlie
it?
Charlie is gone, Tom.
Ha-ha, yeah. Charlie's gone.
Hey, Tom, take us to break.
Don and Mike, go to break.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's fucking awful. A young man. Heart disease. A silent killer. Hey, there are worse ways to go. Even still, and the piece you're doing, what do you f***ing humiliate? It's how Elvis died. That guy in Hollywood, too. Don something. But those sort of Simpsons.
The Don and Mike Show.
Noted chubby chasers, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hi, everybody. Let's see. The eBay Wax Museum guy, who was on the show about 3 weeks ago selling that awful country music wax figurines.
We wanted one.
It was awful, these wax dummies. But the guy had an entire set of country music stars.
And he was a character.
And he was selling them on eBay, and he promised us if he sold them, he'd give us a couple of them.
Yeah, right.
Put in our office. We tried to get him on the show yesterday. He was out scouting players with Tommy Lasorda,
sure. Which is a new wrinkle that we're not familiar with.
What's the guy's name again, Robbie?
John Hobbs.
John, would you call and see if he's there right now?
Yeah, well.
Call live.
I want to find out about the Tommy Lasorda stuff, too.
Sure. I'm good friends with him. He's like his chauffeur.
And if he's not there, get his secretary on the phone. And listen, I know we don't do a show like we did before, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not heavy on the dirty stuff. But I believe I can bring this up without being dirty.
Without being known blue?
I just saw somebody at the front desk, not Colette,
mm-hmm.
but somebody of the female persuasion with a copy of this magazine. Playgirl.
Playgirl.
Now, if there's anything grosser, I don't know, than the Playgirl...
What is this?
The June issue, June 2004,
mm-hmm.
Lusting After Older Men.
Oh.
There are pictures of older men in here. And for instance, here's Rick, who's the Renaissance man.
Don, baby, how's it going?
Not that old, Rob.
No.
Not that old. Well,
go out and take a look at it.
Did they use my pictures or mine in there?
Pretty close. Look at this. Look at these pictures. Look at this guy.
Oh, God.
Look at this guy.
No.
He's got,
my God.
He's like parading himself and he's
naked. Come on.
He's naked. He's got all gray hair and he's.
Oh, dear.
He's just happy to get all kinds of various poses.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go.
It's like you got a little motivated before they shot those pictures.
You go further back. Well, as I'm noticing with some of these pictures, some of them are half asleep.
Yeah.
Oh. It, uh-huh. It's almost like,
exactly.
You know when your foot feels like ginger ale?
Yeah.
When your foot goes to sleep and you get up and you go, well, it just feels like ginger ale. Looks like that's what's happened with a lot of these guys.
Right. I'm dying to know who was thumbing through that at work.
Yeah.
I'd like to know who was violating company policy.
I have to know. Oh, I will write it down. Okay?
All right. This is
who it belongs to.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
You got that, Buzz?
Got it.
That's who belongs to. So,
Having said that, continue not to look like the world's biggest faggot as I stand in the lobby of the station.
Were you thumbing through it in the lobby of the station?
I was sitting out there. I said, "What? Really? Whose is this?"
That's a funny gag. You know, just sit out there and let people come and go and just thumb through that casually.
I'm looking at
that'd be fun to bring on an airplane.
Exposed. Real men bear all. This
can't they throw you off an airplane if you do that?
I believe
this must
so.
Must be like in Playboy when they have real girls who send their pictures in.
Mm-hmm. I bet you get some real gems. Oh, look.
Take a look at this thing. It's like some 65-year-old guy. Oh, did you call our eBay guy?
It's busy. I'll try again in a second. And just to be clear with Mike, they can throw you off an airplane for looking at the magazine or posing for it. Make no mistake.
Right, Lisa.
He's your handsome honey. You're incredibly sexy next door.
Hey, what's that on the back page? I'm looking at the Playgirl TV.
Playgirl magazine comes to life at the privacy of your home. Video on demand.
Hey.
So then they have pictures of these guys, and it says, for instance, let me find one of the old guys. Okay. In the real guys segment, there's a guy who's got totally gray hair, totally gray beard. He's naked, lounging on his couch.
Oh.
Looks like a guy.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Looks like a guy. You go down to South Florida, this guy would maybe be working in McDonald's. Okay? Here's what it says about him. His name is David. This young, older man loves the outdoors, racquetball, and enjoys bowling. Retired from the Army, this 58-year-old Libra from Texas loves to vacation anywhere near the water. And while you're traveling, expect to participate in a few water sports. This guy loves to get it on outdoors.
God.
And
it takes all kinds, doesn't it?
Apparently.
I mean, there are just some people that want to take their clothes off and have their picture taken.
Apparently a lot of people.
Now, do girls really read this magazine?
I mean, hey, Buzz, if you were offered, and they said a newsman of radio, the edition Playgirl.
And Playgirl.
Would you, and they said they were going to pay you.
Well, you could be on this one, Buzz. Older men.
They were going to pay you $100,000. Would you do it?
Yes.
Would you? Well, wait a minute.
Would you do it like these
for guys? $100,000? Sure.
Mm-hmm. Would you do it
for less money? Only if they were tasteful.
Hold on. Would you do it?
Buzz.
Would you do it in a ginger ale status? Or would it be a stiff drink?
Well, I guess that would depend. Whatever. Yeah, for $100,000,
you'd have a stiff drink.
Well, I think that you do ginger ale for that publication. Just the thought of I don't think they allow.
Right. Yeah, take a look. Yes, they do.
Oh,
yes, they do.
Hello.
Put it away. Am I Joe Faggot?
Yeah.
No, listen. No, yes, they do, Mike.
Oh,
look at this guy.
Took some shots down at the lumber yard.
Look at Pedro Manjas.
Pedro says, "Look at me." Mm-hmm. Well, don't they do, like Playboy magazine, don't they do men? Men that are, like, in media and stuff? Don't they have specialty issues and stuff? Buzz Burbank has just come out and said he would do it.
In Playboy, they don't have pictures
not
like
in Playboy,
this with guys sitting around with their various things hanging out.
The guy with a guitar. There you go.
Yes.
You know, how long has that publication been out? That publication's been around for years.
The guy with the guitar, incidentally, he's just had a real stiff drink.
Oh.
Take a look at that. Almost looks like he could play the guitar.
He doesn't seem to be distracted.
How many roads must a man walk down?
Okay, all right, put them away.
God. And then, here's the centerfold with the older guy. There you go.
The gray-haired guy?
Now, the thing is, if you were to look at it just, I'm going to fold it just like this, so you just see his head. The head on the top.
If you're going to look at it, it would look like an ad out of a magazine.
It could be like an ad for Merrill Lynch.
Right.
That's how distinguished the guy looks.
Oh, very good.
But then, hold on. Wait until you hold. Look at the whole thing, Mike. Look at that. How you doing? Listen, what kind of guy does this?
Oh, my God.
What kind of guy does this? Why are we getting
a proud man who needs $100,000?
Where are we getting this magazine here?
Do they? I'm sure they pay them.
And they have
this, right?
Playgirl's 30 hottest older men. They're distinguished, knowledgeable, experienced. Older men are like a fine wine. Best to be savored slowly. It may be that sexy bit of gray in their hair or just their confident, manly look. It's a look that says they can take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these guys in this magazine, and this is just... And there's more than... Mike, there's more than one guy that's playing an instrument. Another guy... no pun intended.
Oh, I see.
Another guy's playing...
I think they all are, actually.
Another guy's playing a ukulele.
Hello.
While he's sitting on a beach...
Well, you know, a ukulele makes you look better than a guitar, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of good-looking older men, Mr. Hobbs is standing by.
Wonderful!
Oh, there we go. Mr. Hobbs!
Hello, how you doing?
There's our Nashville... buddy with the Wax Museum.
Hey, thanks for joining us. How the hell are you? Did you sell all of the country music figure?
Well, it's got one more week to go, and it's over 200,000. And there's a lot of dickering going on to buy it.
Oh, wow. So you're going to get at least 200 grand for it.
At least. We're hoping a little bit more, maybe about 225.
Man, you got to be happy with that, I would think.
I'm very happy with that.
Now, do you...
It's doing pretty good, and it gets to keep the family together.
Now, sir, do you remember when you were on our show, you told us if it sold for the price you wanted on eBay that we could have
one?
One?
I'm hoping I'm going to let you have one. I've kept your name over here in the back.
You're a good man.
All right. What
about the week, about another 10 days, we'll be doing some.
And this item is still up on eBay. If you go to eBay, you just what do you put in for a search? Wax figures?
Wax museum? No, it goes under auction. eBay auction.
Yeah,
and eBay auction and then Wax Museum?
Right.
All right, good. How's Tommy Lasorda?
Tommy's doing great. We was up here, he's looking at a ball player. And let me tell you a little story about that. This boy is a big, tall boy, 5 foot, he's 6 foot five, and a good pitcher, and he's in high school. So Tommy's talking to his dad, and he says, this boy, and his dad said, hey, he said, what kind of bonus you talking about? And he said, well, we was looking at $1 million. He said, that ain't much. And this Tommy said, oh, my Lord. He said, are you an office worker or hourly worker?
He said,
I get paid by the hour. He said, and $1 million ain't much? He said, no, that ain't much. Huh. So Tommy didn't know what to say then.
Wow.
So yeah. How long have you known Tommy Lasorda?
About 40 years.
And does he know about your wax museum you're selling on eBay?
Oh, he's been in it. I came down there, and he put his footprints in concrete in front of it.
Wow. Tommy is still, you know, we have tapes of Tommy. Tommy is one of the great managers with the, you know, if you push Tommy's buttons the right way, he would always... provide you with some colorful language. Does he still have that little potty mouth, that Tommy Lasorda?
You got to watch. When he gets on stage in the Nashville Palace nightclub that we own, he sings. And you got to watch what he uses.
Wow. So,
John... He knows how to talk to umpires. I'll put it that way.
Nobody did it better as far as I'm concerned.
So the update would be that the Country Music Wax Museum is still up on eBay for another week.
About another week and it'll be off.
And it's so far you got about 200 grand right now.
A little over 200, and people are calling in even wanting to negotiate a little.
Sure. And now is Tommy with the Dodgers organization still?
He's vice president, senior vice president of the Dodgers, in charge of PR and new development.
What's his favorite country figure wax dummy that you have?
Alan Jackson is one of the good ones.
Alan Jackson. All right.
They're all good, but Alan looks like he's going to talk to you.
Wow.
You know, you get spooky when you walk through that night by yourself. You wonder which one of them's going to step out.
I would imagine, like, if the lights were all turned off and you were closing up the shop, it'd be a little freaky to be in there.
Are they anatomically correct?
You heard what we did on a nationwide TV show a couple weeks ago.
No, sir, what's that?
They came in, and Jerry Springer happened to be in the palace. He's cut a record on country western.
Mm-hmm.
And he come in and sang a few songs, and that night at midnight, they put us on. So we're down at the Wax Museum. I didn't tell this guy, Jimmy, that the announcer up there, that we had him in there, and I put him in there standing like a wax figure.
Oh, Jerry Springer?
Jerry's in the museum?
Yeah, and I said, I got Willie Nelson over here, got Waylon Jennings right here, and I said, I got a new one in today. Tell me if you recognize him.
And it's the real Jerry Springer.
And he said, yeah, Jerry Springer. And then Jerry raised up and waved at him. So it went over real good.
Yeah.
There you go. I'd imagine it would.
Well, listen, partner, whenever this thing winds up next week, Rob will call you, and we'd love to have you on the show to find out how much the eBay brought you. And we'd really love to get at least one of those wax dummies.
We're going to put it right in our office.
We're going to try to get you one.
All right. And we're going to see if it's got you know, more energy than our general manager.
And we're going to try to get that price up a little bit for you. What was the price that you let it go for? What do they call that on eBay?
Well, we're hoping we get about $225 out of it.
Oh, the reserve, right?
The reserve.
$400, $450.
$450 is your reserve?
Yeah, we put that up high just hoping that.
Yeah.
That would bring it up a little bit.
Gotcha. It sounds like you're happy. I hope you get your number.
Oh, I think it's going to do good.
All right. Well, we look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. If you have any nice, we'll come out and see us.
Thank you, Mr. Hobbs.
Well, we follow the eBay adventure. See you, and our best to Tommy Lasorda.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Right
sir.
Back at you.
Thank you very much.
Right. Bye-bye.
Now, Tommy Lasorda, I would love to get on this show.
Well, he was hanging around with him yesterday, just we couldn't get a hold of the guy.
Yeah. Just Tommy Lasorda.
Hello, Mike?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, you and your wife, two peas in a pod.
Why is that, sir?
Well, you give her a hard time because she wants to go to a strip club
right?
to look at other girls, and look what you're doing to us with the magazine.
Oh, listen, I'm just killing a little time here before.
That's all she's doing.
Well, we got the wax museum guy on the phone.
Are you going to bring that magazine home to your wife?
No, my wife doesn't need to see this. But listen, it's
you know who would bring it home to his wife?
I know, Buzz, it's yours. Don't worry about it. It's gross, but more importantly, it's in the workplace. And it's floating around the building.
Inappropriate,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Floating around the building. And
I heard
just like Frida, her curiosity was piqued, and you were curious.
Listen, here's the thing.
I hear that was sitting on Tim McWilliams' desk for a while.
You can bust my balls, no pun intended on this, if you want. But I'm saying, you can call me a homo. There's something really funny about seeing a guy, like this picture, it says, while he was sleeping. This guy's pretending to be sleeping, and incidentally, he's like ginger ale down.
So
he's like half ginger ale, half had a stiff drink.
Having some sort of... All right. It is disturbing. So you hold up those pictures next to your face.
It's funny. Like, do women look at this like we look at pornography?
I think women...
Do they look at this like we look at pornography?
Well, let me tell you. First of all, guys usually are not fascinated with those kind of publications, even though we seem, all three of us, to be... fascinating.
Well, in the name of science,
disturbing.
What do you mean, this one today?
But you ever notice, like, whenever there was a magazine floating around, that women would always be very, let me see, very, very curious.
Women like to look at Playboy.
Guys kind of like to look in the other direction.
Yeah.
They don't want to see that. But you seem to be...
There's a guy with a cowboy hat. Look at this guy. This guy.
Okay, women are not visual, so...
Hold on a second. Here's a guy who's in the Navy. Take a look at this guy.
Rob said he saw it on Slab Happy Ed Pappy's desk.
Well, give this to Alex Jimenez and tell him I'm sorry I took it out of his mailbox.
Alex is on page 16.
And for the people who play Girl Magazine, if you were paying attention, Buzz has said for $100,000
he
will be in your magazine.
Yeah. And he would do
Or possibly less. But what would be your minimum, Buzz? That's what they need.
I hadn't really thought about
there's
it.
There's the magazine for you to bring home and peruse. And make sure that you leave a note for the girl that works here, whose magazine it is, because that's where it originally came from.
She'd be upset.
Shocker there.
She gets it back.
Yeah. You know what? That's like when you were a little kid, you're looking at the Sears catalog.
Right.
Because we all know the guy that she's with.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what she's doing, it's like, did they call the Sears catalog the wish book when you were a little kid?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
For her, that's like a wish book.
The wish book.
The wish book. Okay, thank you for the call.
Oh, you're welcome. You boys have fun now.
Thank you. Never question my judgment again. Thank you for the call. Goodbye.
Go tend to that animal.
Goodbye. Here is, we got a break. But Rebecca, why do women look at Playgirl?
Personally, I look at it just to see size.
Just to see what?
Size.
The size of the magazine to see if it's a.
Let me ask you a question. Is it your personal experience that the men that you've encountered and the men in the pages of that magazine are similar or dissimilar?
It depends. I mean, some of the guys in the magazine are.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, darling, because we're going down a dangerous road now.
We are, but it's fascinating.
I realize that, but the Infinity guy's in town today.
Yeah, that's true.
Let me just say that I'm sure all men are bigger than the men of that magazine, because the men in the magazine are only like 12 inches tall.
Right, exactly.
So all
it's an interesting way of putting it.
All men have to be bigger.
Do you look at it as entertainment? Do you laugh? Is it something that turns you on? Why do you read that?
It's definitely not a turn on.
Okay, that's interesting.
It's not a turn on. It's more.
Was it recon? Research? What is it?
It's funny.
Yeah.
I mean,
funny.
I agree.
And I think she represents a lot of women. I think women think it's funny.
I think it's funny, too.
I think
don't
really
look at me like I'm a faggot. You all laughed at it, too, though.
No, I think that women read that thing because they get a kick out of it. It's funny. It's comical because guys just don't look right posing.
As I said, it's funny. The guy that's pretending he's sleeping.
Right.
I mean, at least in our magazines, the women are like posed provocatively. Like
sure, they give a provocative look because, I mean, women are. You know, sensual creatures.
They're next to three big bales of hay.
You
somewhere.
See a guy that's standing there, so it's like, look at me. It's like, go home.
Hey, Kristen. Kristen, Don and Mike, hello. Kristen?
Hi, Don and Mike?
Yeah, hi, darling.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Oh, I was just wondering, you're talking about the Playgirl?
Yeah.
Yes, we were. You're listening to Fag FM.
Well, I don't look at Playgirl. I don't know. I just think it's the guys, they're all creepy.
Guys are creepy. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that. It was worth the wait.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye, honey.
All right, bye.
Well said.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, she's a writer for Playgirl.
All right, there you go. I try to open your minds, show you a new experience.
Always something new. It's always an adventure on this show.
Hey, I wouldn't have it if it wasn't in the radio station.
Absolutely.
If it wasn't right up at the front desk, right as you walk through. There it is, the CBS newsletter.
Unavoidable.
There it is, your stack of WJFK stickers, and the older guy issue of Playgirl magazine.
And I understand Playgirl also is kind of newsworthy. They have articles in there, and I believe every week in the back of the magazine, they have a Playgirl poll. Sorry. I'm here all week.
Thank you.
I'm fine.
You're good. You're good. Today. The one day. Today's the day that you want to push the envelope. Any other day I did that, you'd be sitting in hindsight like, hey, no, it's staying on that. Today you want to do poll jokes.
I'm sorry.
You want to ask about size. Today's the day.
Maybe I got influenced by Bobby Bacala.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Dead.
Who knows?
What about him? How do you think he'd look in the magazine?
I think it would speak to what the woman said before. It'd be darn funny.
I just saw him in the hall with a guitar.
Okay.
And a cowboy hat.
That's right. Yeah,
sure. And he was laying there sleeping in the hall, wasn't he?
I sure hope we're coming back tomorrow.
I sure hope we're coming back after this break.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Is the Don and Mike Show.
I ain't seen a beating like that since somebody stuck a banana in my pants and turned a monkey loose.
Thanks for the pick-me-up, Eddie.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Charmingly ghetto, the Don and Mike Show.
Bam, 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 bam. My wife, Frida. My wife, Frida.
I had a feeling you might be talking.
I'm not going to dwell on it. I just want to say, whatever she wants to do is fine with me.
That's fine.
Buzz, I'll ask you something. You're not in this cubicle. You didn't hear the conversation I had with my wife during the commercial.
I missed it. No.
Have you ever heard of an automobile that doesn't need the oil changed until it's got 20,000 miles on it?
Never heard of it. I'm not sure such a thing exists. That is the similar sentiment that was expressed by Mr. Spiewak.
And by Mike, and by me, to my wife.
No, I believe I said, absolutely, it's very possible.
No, he did not. She's on the phone, she's looking at some car, and she said, the car that she's... I said, honey, you don't want to get this car. It's a...
You don't want this car.
It's a pain. They're very hard to maintain. You're not good with maintenance. She said, you could drive it for 20,000 miles without changing the oil. I said, there is no way.
And it'd be a pretty amazing car if that was the
case. She said, hold on, I'm going to ask the salesman. And I hear, you know, and first of all, I'm worried because she's in a car dealership.
And she's getting sold.
Yeah, and she, the guy says, well, I hear the guy say, well, I can fax you the information if you want. Yeah, fax me the information, please, on the fantasy car. Fantasy car that gets 20... You don't have to change the oil for 20,000 miles.
Even synthetics don't last that long, I don't think.
No, the synthetic will run like 6,000 miles.
But it's not real oil. It's olive oil.
Virgin olive oil.
Well, and then you can use it to cook after you're done.
Now, are people going to... Here you go. I'm just going to take a random call. Is there such a car that you go 20,000 miles without changing the oil? Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
And Buzz and Rob.
Yeah, we're all here.
I run a diesel truck and use synthetic oil. And theoretically, you never have to change it. You just top it off.
All right, well, fortunately for me, my wife is not at a dealership for a diesel truck today.
Well, it doesn't really matter about diesel. It's the synthetic oil that does the trick.
So when you say synthetic oil, is that something that comes with the car?
No.
I mean, what's the difference between a regular motor oil and a synthetic motor oil?
Well, I'm not sure.
Well, you're the one that brought it up.
Synthetic oil is piped out.
Not a petroleum-based product. It's a man-made product.
It's a man-made product.
And it will last, I think, roughly twice as long. Like Mobil 1 is what I use.
Okay.
It would be 6,000, right?
Right.
We've all been trained our whole life to change the oil every 3,000 miles.
I don't change mine.
Hello, Don and Mike. Do you know one time, I was driving an Opel. Great car, this Opel.
You don't have to change the oil on that.
And I never did. I never changed the oil the whole time I had the car. And one day I'm in the middle of nowhere driving to the radio station, and the car stops, and it just goes... click, 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 click. Not like a dead battery click. Like
right.
A click, click, click. So the guy comes out, the tow truck comes out, like 1977. Guy goes, what's the problem? I said, I don't know. I'm driving along. The car starts shaking.
Right.
I hear this click, click, click. Guy lifts up the hood. It says, congratulations. You've blown the engine.
Yeah.
So how'd I do that? Guy said, when's the last time you changed the oil? And I said, you have to change the oil.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So that car was totally ruined.
I seized an engine, and that's what they call it, the engine.
Yeah,
the engine
seized up on.
Remember that Jeep I used to like to drive around town with my shirt off?
Used to like to drive around so bad?
Yeah, that Jeep I like so bad?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I took it to one of those, quick lube places, one of the places right. Where they change your oil, and about 24 hours later, I don't know whether it's 24 hours, 2 days, or what, I'm driving along with the Jeep on Route 395. My engine seized. They had not replaced the little spigot.
Yeah.
The plug that they drain the oil with.
So
they had
all
not
just
replaced
out.
Yeah, all the oil drained out of my car. My engine seized.
Hello, Melanie.
Yeah. Hi. I have a Honda Element, and I'm not sure what car she's looking at, but you don't have to change the oil except for every 20,000 miles, and the first major tune-up is at 100,000 miles.
And you can also use that car as a coffee table, can't you?
That Element I don't want to say what time
I
was.
You can put your shoes in it, too.
That is a fuggly car, that Honda Element.
Yes.
You got to have a mental problem to drive that car.
Well, the number one thing for that car, correct me if I'm wrong, is gas mileage, right?
Actually, gas mileage is wonderful on it.
Is it a hybrid or just low mileage?
Yeah, but the way it looks, though. I mean,
but
Jesus.
Yeah, it's not a hybrid, but...
How do you have any self-respect when you get into
that? Yeah, it looks like a box of chicken driving down the street.
You get into that thing, how can you feel good about yourself getting into a Honda Element?
I always thought minivans were bad, but, I mean, getting into a Honda Element, I've seen those things. What sold you on that particular car? Because whenever I see one, and you see a lot of them around... I hope it's not that. You a big woman?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I'm just kidding. Why did you buy that boxy car?
Actually, when I first saw it at a car show, and I thought it was really ugly, but
it is.
Cute, though.
It's the Honda Elephant.
It's
actually cute.
It has
lots of room. It's really good for beach,
and hold on.
Camping.
Honey, you tell me, here's the only thing. You really don't have to change the oil except every 20,000 miles?
Yep, 20,000 miles.
If that's the case, how come Honda is not advertising that? That, to me, would be the biggest come-on in the world, even for an ugly car.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about stopping every 3,000 miles for your oil.
Don't need to change the oil, ever.
Now, the first oil change, they do say you probably should wait maybe about 8,000 miles.
That's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And
5,000,
but then after that, just every 20,000 miles.
All right, honey, thank you.
Yeah. In my manual, the car that I have says you change the oil with every fill-up.
Hello, Carolyn?
Yeah.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hello.
You have a car with a lot of... What car do you have?
New Mini Cooper.
The Mini Cooper.
Oh, the little tiny one.
Yep.
Now, those are cute.
Yep.
Now, that should be able to go 20,000 miles, because that's such a small car.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, it's a four-cylinder supercharged engine, but it goes 20,000 miles.
Rob, be nice.
I agree, Rob. Blah, 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 blah.
It's a supercharged engine. Yeah, but it's great, because you can also, if you don't want to drive, your spouse can stay at home and operate it with a remote control.
Hello, Bill.
Yeah.
Bill is an oil salesman. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how are we doing?
We're doing great.
Good. Yeah, I was just listening in, and the capabilities of synthetic lubricants to last 25 and 40,000 miles is there.
You are turning me on.
In fact,
you want the magazine?
1974, when Mobil 1 was introduced, it was advertised.
Are you holding a guitar right now, sir?
What? Say again?
Are you holding a guitar? Are you on a beach with just a cowboy hat on?
The benefits of synthetic lubricants are multifold.
Yes, they are.
Sir, tell me you're an older man.
I'm an older man.
There you go.
All right, thank you.
Consider mission accomplished.
Good boy. All right. You know, maybe she's right. I don't know.
Obviously you don't want to talk about it.
No, I don't, because first, she doesn't need a new car. Second, she doesn't need a new car. And third, she doesn't need a new car.
There you go.
And I don't care if it gets 100,000 miles between oil changes.
Will you ever get to drive it?
The Honda Element? Yeah, on a dare.
No, will you get to drive the car if she gets it? Or, you know, because, I mean, I never see you. You drive your car.
I like my car. Mm-hmm. No, if she gets something ugly like that Honda Element, not a chance. I wouldn't want to be seen in that thing.
I don't know. I sure would like to have a new car on the block.
Is this her? Hello?
I just got in my current car,
And I'm surprised to hear your tune is quite a bit different on the radio with your buddies than it is with me, when it's whatever you want, darling.
Now, listen, and you know that is, please, darling, that is what I say, whatever you want. The point is not about the car. The point is this thing about the car that gets 20,000 miles and you don't have to change the oil.
I mentioned that. The paperwork.
Okay. Honey, a million women have called the show to say there are cars like that. I just want to know how come that's not being marketed.
Maybe you don't ask, and maybe you talk. You have a love affair with. I don't want to, you know, with the oil change places. They have got you indoctrinated to where you think you need to do this. Matter of fact, I had quite the in-depth discussion now, and in some.
Oh my God.
Some American cars, not even most American cars, they only, you know, an inexpensive car might only take 4 quarts of oil, which would get dirty or bad.
You change the oil every 3,000 miles, honey.
It's sugar. Okay, now to put it in terms that I know as a girl,
yes.
If you get the new dishwashers, the European dishwashers, you're not supposed to wash your dishes before you put them in.
The European, honey, what stratosphere are you living in?
The new European dishwasher.
You don't even know that you have a European-made dishwasher.
No, I don't. I happily don't. And I want it out of my house. I want American-made products.
Sorry, it's not happening.
Well, I have never heard of a car that...
You don't have to do a thing to this car for 20,000 miles, and then your next thing you have to do is at 40,000 miles.
Well, you know, that would be good for you, because I am always saying to my wife, I keep saying, don't forget, you got to change the oil every...
With the new Parisian, your dishes are sparkling.
Every 3,000 miles, I say, well, you got to change the oil every 3,000 miles. She goes, I keep forgetting. I said, it should...
You don't need to, because the car dealerships don't tell me to do that. Just you, Mr. I love to go to the oil change.
Oh, that's
place.
Right, because I've got a love affair with Jiffy Lube. Yeah, I've got a love affair with Jiffy Lube. Nothing turns me on more than going...
Oh, I swear. I don't know what they're lubing there, but whatever it is, they got you coming back for more.
You know what? You know what turns me on? The fact that if that car ever does break down, I got all the paperwork to say I've been to the dealer, I've been to Jiffy Lube, mm-hmm. I've had everything done as the warranty says.
By your cousin with the straw, with the changing the oil with the straw, and that you learned to go to Jiffy Lube, and you've never forgotten it.
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm. I learned a life lesson from my cousin Ronnie.
Early on.
Yeah, you've got to change the oil.
Time for dinner. This has a lot more. This uses 10 quarts of oil instead of, 5 or 6,
Whatever.
A lot of cars do.
Okay.
So you don't have to change it.
Okay. All right. It sounds like a fantasy car to me. I've never heard it.
But that's okay, because now I'm going to look at like a Larry David kind of car anyway.
Oh, good. That's what you should have anyway.
Yeah. Like a hybrid?
Yes, that's what you need. And maybe you can get one with pedals on it, too. Make it like a moped, go-ped thing.
One of those seated ones.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I won't look at the expensive, bigger cars if you will take the dogs when we go places. If you'll take them when you go to the beach and that kind of thing. If you drive a huge car that nobody's allowed to do anything with.
That's right. You know why? Because I'm the man. Because I'm the king. Because I'm the guy that comes to work.
The Jiffy Lube.
I'm the guy, and I take care of my vehicles. I take care of my vehicles, and I love my dogs, but they are dogs. I don't want dogs in my car.
I have to have dogs in my car.
Right. You're not a man. You're a woman. I mean, honey, you don't have to, it's not a male or female thing. You don't have to have the dogs in your car. Why can't the dogs just...
Good thing. All right, now I got to go. Why can't
the dogs just stay at home? Why do the dogs always have to go?
How about a van? How about a van?
Oh, we had a van when Bart was small. She didn't like that.
No, but a plumbing van, you know, like where you could just put the dogs back there. It's got two seats.
I want something sporty. Well, tell me what car I should get, because I want something sporty, but it's not a mom car.
Van with a shark tank.
I got an idea. How about a Hearst?
A Hearst?
Yeah.
You mean a hearse?
Garrison Hearst. Hello?
I think she pulled the ripcord. Yeah. She said she had to go.
Well, see,
she's not looking at that car. She's looking at another car.
And here's the problem. Why worry about if a car gets 20,000 miles between oil changes when you only keep the car every 5 months anyway? What's the point in that?
Is she a car person?
Yeah, you bet she is.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Yeah, she is. Why, Robbie, hold on.
You need to market it differently. Don't call it a hearse. Call it a Cadillac station wagon.
There you go. Fantastic.
Anyway, she's right. I do talk one thing on there that in real life, it's just whatever you want.
Right.
I hang up the phone, and I said to the guys, You ever heard of a car that gets 20,000 miles?
Mm-hmm. And we hadn't, and it sounded hinky at the time.
Well, everybody I asked said, no, absolutely not.
I hope she gets one of those hybrids. Those are cool.
Hello, Brandon.
She'll like that.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, Brandon, hi.
What's going on, Donna? Mike?
Hey.
Hey, remember, Lisa Remedy also tells you to change your oil every 3,000 miles.
Yeah, well, she's the Pennzoil.
She lost that commercial. It was Quaker State. She lost
Quaker State.
She lost it to Dennis Leary.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, hey, I work for a dealership, and they say I've never heard a car going 20,000 miles of, you know, not being able to have the oil changed.
What dealership do you work for?
Elk Grove Honda.
Honda.
In Sacramento.
Are you selling a lot of those Elements?
Yeah, they're pretty nice. I mean, they market more towards a younger age, like, you know, like my...
Who do they market it towards? Forrest Gump?
No.
Yeah, and I realize I'm running the risk of ticking off anyone who's driving one of those cars and listening to us. But I don't want you as a listener if you drive that car. For goodness sakes, what if you pull up to some stoplight somewhere and you've got the windows down and they hear our show and they hear our show coming out of the Honda Element?
Make us look bad.
Right.
Why do they call it an Element?
You know, I don't know. I think they're just trying to market it more towards a younger age. They were supposed to, college age.
Kind of. Rob, of course, hears Honda and he's putting up signs and saying never forget.
Well... You know, he has a point.
That's right.
He has a point.
Hi, this is Wolfgang Juretzek from Germany.
Yeah. Same with them.
Never forget.
Right.
Yeah, Rob.
Don and Mike show.
Rob wrote that letter to all the dealerships saying, you know, how about creating a model called the Pearl Harbor?
Thank you, Wolfram. All right, hey, thank you for the call.
Hey, no problem, man.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, bye.
Bye, Brandon.
Bye.
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 Bye. All right, bye. We got a break. I don't know what we're doing. We're coming back. How you like that?
That's cool.
Don't know what we're doing. We're coming back.
I find that exciting.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, I have to talk to you.
I'm very busy.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I am sorry. Just listen to me. This is important. I asked Phil to write some patter for the debut of Hank's Hot Potato, but I hardly think he has captured the spirit of fun with this kind of dialogue. I'm sure everyone here loves the old game Hot Potato, but I'll bet you're going to like it even more when I tell you that I just pulled this potato right out of my big fat ass. Here, catch. Then the audience in unison shouts, "Hey now, Hank, go f*** yourself." I mean, the audience isn't even supposed to headline.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right, right. Who are these people?
I don't know, Jerry.
More entertaining than a litter of acrobats. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
So we maybe have time for a phone scan. I'm not really sure. We're almost up to Buzz's news time. We're just on the phone. The crisis averted. We will not be buying another car. We decided not to.
Uh-huh.
But she maintains this thing about the cars, and she said the guy told her.
Yes.
The guy told her that even on an American car, I drive a GM car.
Mm-hmm.
Guy told her, thank you, Rob, shouldn't have to change the oil, but every 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 miles.
All right.
I'm gonna look in the book when I get in the car tonight.
I think it varies anywhere from 3 to 7, 8,000 miles.
Mm-hmm. But I've always heard 3.
That's what I'd heard. Sure.
But here's the thing: if you're not getting your oil changed at a GM dealership, if you bought a GM car,
right?
What's in it for GM if you go to Jiffy Lube? You know what I mean?
There's nothing really for them to gain from recommending the oil.
Yeah, but a dealership with a service department, a dealership doesn't make any money on oil changes anyway.
Then. Well, hold on.
Why they offer it at so many dealerships. They offer that as a spiff, crazy low price.
As a free thing. I got you. But still, even with that.
And a large scale of things. It's not like they're making a ton on oil changes.
But then why don't they tell you, don't come in but every 10,000 miles? Why does every dealership and why does every commercial that I've ever seen said 3,000 miles?
Because then they may find something else.
But not in
Jiffy Lube. They got the razor and cut all your belts.
See, when you go to Jiffy Lube, I already know the routine at Jiffy Lube. You go there and you sit in the waiting room and they come out and they say, well, you're scheduled, whatever. You know, they could come to me.
Many times if you go to a place like that, you avoid your warranty.
They would.
Instead of going to the dealership.
Unless you get a note from the dealership, which I've actually done before.
Uh-huh. You seem to be. So you had a bad experience with your car seizing.
A Volvo. Well, it was an Opel and then the Volvo.
Because you didn't change the oil. Now you're very compulsive about changing the oil, right?
Well, you know what?
Mm-hmm. You do it every 3,000?
Yeah, and you know what made me compulsive? Do you remember about 5 years ago I had a car and I and I got those things to jack my car up, and I was going to be a man and change my own oil.
Right.
And then what happened was I did like the same thing that happened to you. I didn't put the cap back on. All the oil came out of that Volvo.
You know, something just occurred to me that actually all three of us can relate to because we all drive standardly the same car.
Exactly. I mean, they're all the same.
If you have on your computer on it, it'll tell you what percentage you have left on your oil.
All right, here's the...
And that decays down
from like about 4,000 miles.
Yep.
So if you go by what the car knows, even that says 4,000 miles.
Right. So how could a car go 20,000 miles without oil?
We're going to have to get that. But people did call and say some of these cars.
And my wife was on the... She said, I have the paperwork from the dealer.
Yeah.
And she said, furthermore...
Is that every time you change it? You can weigh 20,000 miles and then change it again?
Yeah.
Well, what she was saying was that you know, there's more capacity for oil in those cars.
Yeah, 10 quarts.
But the guy was saying to her, the guy in the store was saying to her, even with your husband's car... Basically, she said to me, the guy at this place said, I'm an idiot for changing my oil every 3,000 miles.
And even so, it doesn't hold six times as much oil, so why should it be six times as...
I don't know, Rob.
Should I call the man? Should I call Pat?
Call Pat Goss?
Pat Goss, yeah. Call the car man.
Call the car man. And while we're doing that, you know, we've not had in a...
Now, he's going to be super conservative, I would imagine.
Hold on a second. Who's this hotline? Hello?
I got him to Xerox the maintenance manual to bring home to show you.
All right, honey, listen, it's not that I don't believe you now. I just don't believe it.
Well, you're also saying the rules of oil changes don't apply to your car.
Right, Nate, but although you just said to me...
I said to you that he said even with, you know, regular old American cars, you change 7,500, you're good.
Hmm.
But he also said it never hurts. You could change your oil every 1,000 miles, and that would be great. I mean, that would be great.
Yeah, it'd be better for the car.
So, in other words, I've been an idiot for changing the oil every 3,000 miles.
Yeah. No. Not at all.
No, I understand, because if I wanted to, I could change it every 10 miles.
No, but I mean, doing it every 3,000 is certainly better than doing it every 5, and that's better than doing it every 15.
Yeah, but it's unnecessary. It's totally unnecessary.
Mine changed every day.
So, we're talking about your car, Buzz.
Yeah, Buzz, that's the other thing you were talking about.
All right, baby, thank you.
All right. I like being the car expert now. Yeah.
Well, you're not the car expert. I'm going to get Pat Goss on the phone.
I educated you.
I'm going to get Pat Goss.
All right.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes,
one question.
Maybe.
What's your name?
I don't have VD.
She's smart. Would you just do it one time for me, please?
I got it. I would only get it from you.
I know.
All right. My name is Frieda Source.
From Chris Core. All right, thanks. Honey, I got to go. Pat Goss, the boss of the hot sauce, is on the other line. Here he is now, everybody. Pat Goss, Motor Week, Mr. Carr. Hey,
Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how you doing?
Pat, we're having this major, major discussion about oil changes, Pat.
Pat, here's a blanket question for all cars. How often should you change the oil?
Depends on the type of driving you do.
Let's say that you just do regular commuting to and from work.
All right. If it's 15 miles or less, every 3,000 miles or 3 months. If the average commute is 15 miles or more, every 5,000 miles.
Pat, what would you say about someone who bought a new car and said, I'm not going to change the oil for 20,000 miles?
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
My reaction.
Ouch. Pat, my wife was at a car dealership today, and they told her that if she bought this car, she wouldn't have to change the oil for 20,000 miles. I told her she's out of her mind.
Holds 10 quarts.
Well, I have to tell you that my car says the same thing, but there's no way in the world I would let it go that long.
And there's the definitive word right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the answer. That's the authoritative statement.
Thank you, Pat.
Take care.
That's all we needed. That's Pat Goss.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat is on Motor Week on PBS. I know he does a radio show on JFK, but I like the TV show on PBS, too.
Yeah, wonderful show.
It's real good.
And Pat, can you extend the life of your oil with BG products?
Yes, a little bit.
Uh-huh.
There you go. More protection, but... it isn't to make the oil go longer. It's just to give better protection.
I see.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Thank you, Pat.
Take care.
Much appreciated.
That's Pat Goss, everybody. Mm-hmm. Does the car show on WJFK and Motor Week on PBS.
All the time. So, see, there you go. Even Pat Goss says,
That's exactly it. If you can take that to the bank. He said, his car
says
you can do it, but you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And okay. You know what? You know what I'm doing as soon as I get in my car. Mm-hmm. I'm checking the OS. It's been a long time. For
All right, we're gonna give away a prize now, and I'm gonna tell you we're gonna do this. Now it's not the Go-Go 80s, so don't get excited. We're doing a contest that involves Coke.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Oh dear. No.
So don't all get right. all excited.
Oh, I never thought we were gonna go back to this.
No, we're not. Jesus.
I thought we would.
Oh, it's going to be another lost weekend, I can tell you that right now.
Mike, you're the only guy in the world that never got into it anyway, so don't sweat it.
You say lost, I say found.
I don't know, and you know, I still look back at that and wonder how that happened. How I didn't.
God knows you were surrounded by, surrounded by people.
There was opportunity. Man, oh man, was there ever.
All right, the general manager's not there. I wanted to ask him. I'm pretty sure... Rob, you can help me. Coca-Cola's an advertiser on the show, right? Coca-Cola?
Yeah,
thank you, Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. All right, well then, here you go. Let's play a Coke game.
Okay.
I'm sure you recognize this man and the Coca-Cola jingle he's singing.
Let's play it one time with a new song from Tom Jones.
Coca-Cola.
You might remember this.
Things go better with Coca-Cola.
Okay, so that's Tom Jones.
Mm-hmm.
There is, from Donnie's record box, we have an entire record of Coca-Cola jingles.
Very cool.
That were done by rock and roll singers, pop singers in the late 60s. Mike, or maybe I should start with Buzz on this. Let's see. Because some of them sound like...
Now, are they introduced?
No.
Some are, some are not.
For instance, here's one that's not introduced. Buzz?
Uh-huh.
Can you identify this singer?
Another cold and windy day.
No.
Okay, we'll continue it.
Don't recognize that.
The birds are homing to go to space.
It's a Coca-Cola commercial.
It's a Bee Gee, I think.
There you go. Right. You got to let it get into it a little bit.
I feel my mind is turning.
Coca-Cola.
That's horrible.
I know it is.
That is really horrible.
I know it is, but it's the Bee Gees doing a commercial for Coca-Cola before they had like...
Is this another one?
Saturday Night Fever.
That's the Bee Gees again.
Hold on. All right, here's another one for you. Mike,
okay.
See if you can name this band.
The Moody Blues want to work it out.
Mike?
I'm trying. Hold on. Let me listen to it. Come on. Wait a minute.
Zeppelin? Sorry, Mike. That was the Moody Blues.
No, it was not.
That was the Moody Blues. Let me try to find one without an intro. Here's
all right, I want to try to guess one.
All right, try this one. Here we go.
See the pretty girls in the hometown square.
I'll give you a clue. Motown. Let it get to the hook. Wonder if they drink Coke.
Sounds like Joe Cocker.
No.
He's not Motown. It's not War, is it?
No, it's not.
Rarer.
You know, I take it back. No, it's the Box Tops. That's not Motown. No, it's like a Four Tops. Box Tops, not Four Tops. My mistake.
Can I have another one?
Of course. Hold on. Here we go. 38. We put them on a disc. Number 38. Number 38. Here we go.
And here's a great song.
La, 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 la.
Okay, so you won't hear. Here it is. Here it is. Clue.
The Monkees?
No. Give you a clue. Related to a great performer.
We never make it through a record session without Coke.
Back to the hand.
Empty bottles and we're finished. And you know, we never get tired of
Can I give a hint?
Sure.
Percodan. Coke after Coke
after Coke. Jerry Lewis?
Gary Lewis.
Gary Lewis.
Gary Lewis.
The Playboy. You go better with Coke.
All right, so you get the idea of this?
Right.
Let me see. Here's another one. Here's Jan and Dean.
Yeah, I love Jan and Dean. Jan and Dean rock.
One of them is rocking to the ground right now.
Yeah, I know.
And then do you remember that song by the Brooklyn Bridge, Johnny Maestro? Girl, I heard you're getting married.
Yeah.
They did a Coca-Cola commercial.
Right. Oh, good.
The day you said you'd let me know if it was him or me was the longest day of my life.
No, I hate to say it. This is out of my era. Wondering
if no, they're not all out of your era. How old were you, like,
Mark? I mean, what year would they have been?
1970? Were you, like, 12?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually
30. Okay, here's one for you, Mike. You'll get this one for sure. And then we'll play with someone off the phone.
Okay.
This one you'll get. Absolutely. We were just talking about this guy a couple weeks ago. Wait until the vocal. Here we go.
Neil Diamond.
Yep. It's a Coca-Cola commercial.
And that's what they did all the jingles, you know, in the very various different styles that the people had
to
say.
To sound like the songs of that were on the radio.
Right.
So having said that,
have a Coke and relax.
Play with somebody on the phone. And let's see, what are we going to give away here to somebody who can get this? Oh, here you go. The WWE SmackDown Judgment Day prize pack featuring our friend The Undertaker. Watch SmackDown 8 o'clock on Thursday nights. And this person, whoever they are who can do this, will qualify for a trip for two to WWE SummerSlam in Toronto.
Wonderful.
That we're giving away on Friday. Plus that 70s show, the Juicer. We're giving away another juice machine.
Yeah.
Courtesy of Fox's That 70s Show. Tune into That 70s Show on Fox Wednesday, May 19th for the one-hour season finale.
I'm a big juicer.
And if you don't win, consolation prize would be a six-pack of Pepsi.
Oh.
So make sure you get it. Now, let me see. As I look at the list, I'm trying to think. I know a lot of these.
Yeah, you get. I think it'd be easier for you than
a lot of.
It's
my wheelhouse, like with the Easy Beats, Leslie Gore, The Vogue.
Petula Clark.
Gary Lewis. Yes, Petula Clark is there. Brooklyn Bridge.
I wouldn't get any of them.
Here you go, right here. That's an easy one, right?
I would think so.
That's an easy one. Let's get someone off the telephone to play. Name that Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's your name?
My name is Matthew from Rochester.
All right, Matthew. Name that Coke. I'll give you 10 seconds. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready, sir.
Listen, here we go.
Here comes the...
La, 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 la.
Here we go. 10 seconds starts now.
Okay.
Your 10 seconds is up. You got it?
Oh, could it possibly be Diana Ross?
That is...
Bingo! Wow.
The Supremes.
Bingo, wow. Bingo, bingo, bingo. Right. Yes,
and that's... Diana Ross and the Supremes. They just kind of slip it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were really subtle. Sipping Coke.
Right.
Hey, that's good. Congratulations. You've won the WWE stuff, and you've won the That 70s Show stuff, and maybe you'll be going to SummerSlam in Toronto. Thank you for listening.
I can't wait, Don and Mike. Thank you. And by the way, about the car subject from earlier, there's a hybrid car out there called a Toyota Prius.
A Prius.
Like,
Prius.
Yeah, it gets like 60 miles a gallon in the city.
Right. Watch Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Sometimes. Doesn't need any oil at all.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Hold on. Good going.
Thank you.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Let me see if I got one more.
Runs on canola oil.
Mm-hmm. If I got one more that I can fool Mike with.
Yeah, I'm not real good at this, but I mean, if you give me the obvious. I got the Supremes, too.
Right,
I did get that one.
I think these guys, there's your head, these guys, you should get it.
It's summer is bringing.
La, 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 la.
You know, I hate it when they announce who it's going to be.
Yeah.
Out here in the sun and heat, watching that some little girl don't drown.
The Everly Brothers?
Yeah.
Yep. good.
Hey, I'm proud of myself.
That's a good pull, Mike.
Thank you.
Wake up, little Susie. Wake up. Now, that's the standard jingle. Things go better with Coke.
Things go better with Coke. All right, and Buzz, I got one for you, and then we're going to get to the news.
All right, I'll try.
This is from Psychedelia. Buzz, think about dropping acid at height. You got a mic?
Yep.
Easy. Yeah, I think so, too. Easy, Buzz.
Really?
Big.
Come on, Buzz.
Big. Major, major, the big, the biggest. Don't get any bigger.
Jimi Hendrix?
Yeah.
No.
No. No. Oh, my God, who is it?
It's Vanilla Fudge.
Oh,
I knew that.
Oh, I thought it was big. Well, Jimi Hendrix, well, Vanilla Fudge. But
you said dropping acid, psychedelia, and then I heard that.
Hanging on. That's Vanilla Fudge.
Come on, hey!
Jimi Hendrix wouldn't do a Coke. Jimi Hendrix would do a commercial for cocaine.
Yeah.
Not for Coca-Cola.
I really thought that was Hendrix.
I didn't recognize him.
What's odd is now he has done a Pepsi commercial. There's one running now. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
There's a Pepsi.
Well, he couldn't really do it. He's dead, but isn't a kid pretending to be Jimi Hendrix?
Mm-hmm. I thought it really was Jimi Hendrix. But the money, of course, goes to the widow Hendrix.
Of course.
All right, Buzz. Here you go. We're running so late. There you go. Buzz?
Yes.
Name that Coke.
Buzzley Gore.
Buzzley
Gore. I really thought that was Jimi Hendrix.
No, it's Vanilla Fudge.
What a rip-off, man.
Oh, I like
ripping off Jimi Hendrix like that.
I always thought really Vanilla Fudge ripped off cream.
Really?
I mean, back in the day,
name?
No, because I thought they sounded alike as well.
Right.
You know that, and I didn't know at the time that Eric Clapton was Cream. And then when Layla came out.
Oh, yeah. And then that big band that never made it. And they were better than all of them.
What was that?
Mocha.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And, of course, you know what happened to the guys in Cream when they let themselves go?
Mm-hmm.
Heavy Cream. Heavy Cream.
Heavy Cream.
As enjoyed.
In a world where owning a radio
that's a cream joke.
Was strictly forbidden.
That's what's enjoyed.
A man found a way
Buzz.
To bring good news to his people.
Howdy, Buzz.
Hi.
He made it
that's
up.
Enjoyed in the WJFK commissary. Heavy Cream.
That's all that's enjoyed up there. They're all in different forms. Whipped.
That's the Coke game, but we'll bring it back again because I've got, let me see, the Temptations.
I'm curious if they got into the 70s at all.
Because they did them then, too.
Not on this record.
Mm-hmm.
The Temptations, Jay and the Americans, Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell, Jay and the Techniques, Neil Diamond, Boyce and Hart, B.J. Thomas,
mm-hmm.
American Breed, Jay and the Americans, Freddie Cannon, Jan and Dean, you heard that? Ah, here's one for next time. Frank Sinatra.
Hey, baby.
Frank Sinatra.
Wow. There you go.
Is Nancy on that, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Things go better with Coca-Cola, or I'll break your head with an ashtray.
I swear to God I was just thinking of that same story. I swear to God I was thinking of that story. But Frank Sinatra told some...
Hit a guy with an ashtray.
Although...
Like a reporter.
Wasn't it that Frank Sinatra didn't do that? He ordered a guy to do it? Or
I think the story is... The story that it was... The confusion may have been he really didn't use an ashtray, that he just punched a guy. Oh. But the rumor was that he hit a guy over the head, a reporter that he didn't like what he wrote, and he hit a guy over, in his restaurant, hit a guy over the head with an ashtray. Like that story.
Yeah, oops.
I mean, for as long as my father was around, that was the reason my father didn't like Frank Sinatra.
Hmm.
My father hated Frank Sinatra because of that
the
story.
The ashtray incident.
Because he said, you know, what kind of guy does that, and he didn't like Sinatra from that day forward.
Hmm. You know what? You know why my father hated Frank Sinatra?
Why is that?
He's a WAP.
Oh, God.
Stinking WAP.
I didn't know that.
And my father's Italian.
Your father's politics.
Yeah, that's sort of ironic.
Yeah, I know. I said, Dad, you're an Italian. He said, I know I'm a dumb WAP, too. Buzz?
Yes.
What is your lead story on the news and comments today?
Well, next up, the diary of an Iraqi prison guard.
All right, now listen, let's all make a promise.
Yeah. We're going to keep it a little lighter this time around?
Yeah, and also we're running out of time on today's
show. Okay,
yeah,
that's,
you know.
Yeah.
Coke does that to you.
Yeah. Look at the clock.
Where does the time go?
Yeah.
Wow, and all we've been doing is talking and talking and talking.
Man, it's time for breakfast already.
Jesus, but who's hungry?
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Do you remind you of any conventions we went to? Mike?
You know what? Don't I sound like I was there?
My jaw hurt.
Come on.
Actually, I was there.
Come on, Mike. Come on, join us, Mike.
No, I'll stick to beer, and you know, and then I'd end up having 30.
That was very
professional.
Not the beers,
this
I mean. And
is the Don and Mike Show. This
is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my God. It's Don and Mike.
Time for, thank you, Dude Walker. Time for Buzz, the Burbank News and Comments. Buzz brought to you by Annex Health System. Smoke break.
Oh, dear.
Smokers break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke break. Revolutionary tablet for smokers.
Oh, God.
Get it now at fine retailers.
Please to identify song.
In a Big Country by Big Country.
Big Country. Mm-hmm.
Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Now there are words to go with the pictures that have made it even tougher to stabilize Iraq. As if the pictures we've seen of a few of our troops abusing Iraqi prisoners weren't enough, now there's a diary. And the contents will air tonight on CBS's 60 Minutes 2. It's the audio diary of a female American soldier stationed at Abu Ghraib prison near Baghdad. On the tape, she says, "I hate it here. I want to come home."
Excuse me for a second, Buzz. I saw on the CBS Morning Show today a clip of this since they're promoting it.
Right.
And
audio diary. Right.
It's a videotape.
It's a videotape?
The one that I saw where okay. she's talking. And there's a snake on the ground. And she goes into the camera, shoots on the, it's like homemade video. Mm-hmm. And you hear her say this is whatever type of snake.
Sand snake.
Which is indigenous to where they live. Mm-hmm. They're very dangerous. It's already killed two prisoners today. Well, that's just two more that I won't have to worry about.
The quote is, "Who cares? That's two less for me to worry about."
Right. I saw the tease on CBS this morning for the show that's on tonight.
Mm-hmm. She says, "I want to be a civilian again. We actually shot two prisoners today. One got shot in the chest for swinging a pole against our people on the feed team. One got shot in the arm. We don't know if the one who got shot in the chest is dead yet." She mentions the snake bites, of course. And in yet another entry, she writes, "I got in trouble because I was throwing rocks at them." CBS says it will also air a new video from the prison tonight as well.
Well, you know, and let me just say that I'm not going to break the rule that we
right.
said about
right.
today, so it's not like yesterday.
Right.
I never thought I'd say it, but thank God for 60 Minutes. I really think if the American press hadn't pushed this, that the government would have hid this from us forever. You know, it would have been one of those things you would have heard there was abuse, and then, well, it's just one of those things you just hear, and it's like something on The Sopranos, like when... Mm-hmm. And I don't mean anything for
it. Doesn't a part of you don't want it to be over? I just want it to be over.
Everybody does.
But, Mike?
I mean, I know it's got to come out. I know we've got to air our dirty laundry. That's what we do in this country.
We've got to go through it.
But man, it's just making... I mean, it's wearing me out.
But ain't it like pulling off a Band-Aid? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you get two ways that you pull it off very slow, or you just you grit your teeth and you just say, okay, that's it. So just do it like that.
Yeah.
Just pull the Band-Aid off.
But, you know, I do believe this. I hope what comes out of this is we have better... stronger leadership and more integrity. I mean, because really, it's overdue. Obviously, this stuff was able to happen. This comes from the top. This comes down, you know, this comes from the top. And, man, I don't want to get going again.
No, we're not. We're not going to.
This is very depressing.
We did yesterday.
I take it really personal. I feel very, very affected. I don't know why I feel affected.
You know why? Because everybody in America does. And this is why when I'm listening to Rush Limbaugh today, he's saying, you know, don't worry about these polls. Something else will come up, and people have a short attention span.
Right.
Trust me, this is something I don't think America's got a short attention span on.
You know, they accuse us of not being the world's policemen. You know, I think we are the world's policemen, but right now, there's a lot of corruption in the police department.
Yeah, and you've acknowledged the press and the work of CBS News in bringing some of this stuff forward. But you have to also realize, too, as the BBC was reporting yesterday, that digital cameras and the internet are doing a lot to undo what has been the secrecy of the Pentagon. So technology gets a lot of the credit for bringing this out as well.
Right. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Because we talk bad about the Internet a lot, but that's something good the Internet has.
Yeah. A California congressman is taking some heat for the voicemail message he left for one of his constituents. Pete Stark, who represents part of the San Francisco Bay Area, got a letter from the citizen criticizing him for voting against condemning the abuse of Iraqi prisoners. Pete voted against a resolution that would have condemned the abuse of Iraqi prisoners.
So he voted no, that we shouldn't
condemn for whatever reason. I don't know what his reasons were.
I'd love to hear his reasons.
Sure, of course. Well, the letter called Stark's vote a disgrace. Less than an hour after getting that fax, the congressman picked up the phone himself. His message goes, quote, "Dan, this is Congressman Pete Stark."
Hold on. How did he start the conversation? How did he start it again?
Dan?
Yeah?
This is Congressman Pete Stark.
Look, I'm just trying to add some levity, Buzz.
I appreciate that.
It's a tough time to do the news.
Right, I know.
So what did the mallet head say to the guy?
I just got your facts, and you don't know what you're talking about. I doubt if you could spell half the words in the letter, and somebody wrote it for you, so I don't pay much attention to it. But I'll call you back later and let you tell me more about why you think you're such a goddamned hero, end quote.
Wow.
Dan is a law student and a sergeant in the National Guard.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, all right. Well, you know what?
That's good. And it's good that that's national.
Keep
now.
Telling the truth.
I will.
I mean that. I'm not being facetious. Keep right. telling the truth.
I try. Despite a handful of cases of HIV infection, the adult film industry went back to work today.
Oh
thank goodness.
I'm so relieved.
Well, you will be.
Because I got to tell you, am I bored with my DVDs? Oh. Do I know the plot? Do I know the good part?
It's just not the same industry without our new product.
I found a fresh one for you guys. That's the next birthday. The porn makers voluntarily stopped production, putting 6,000 people out of work, including 1,200 performers. Today, the producers ended the moratorium 1 month earlier than planned. You hear the celebration there. A month ago, a male actor tested positive for the AIDS virus. Since then, three actresses who had worked with him also turned up positive, as well as a...
Well, now that's not a reason to have...
No, I don't understand this.
This is just the celebration we're going back to work,
that's
Doc.
What I'm thinking. Also turning up with the CD, a transsexual performer who hadn't been with that actor. Now,
now they love VD.
Yes. I don't know if they love it. They know the song.
They sure do.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
How do you get in there? He's got VD.
Sure. To contain the outbreak, the industry put more than 50 performers who had worked with those five on a quarantine list. After repeated testing, about a third of those performers have been cleared to return to work. The others are being retested. Some producers say they would rather wait than regret going back to work, so they're holding off. But some performers say they're eager to get back on the job.
So some of them have been cleared to go back to work.
Yes.
But the others are being tested. So they're not just testing everybody.
No, they are testing everybody. They all had to be tested every 3 weeks anyway.
Okay.
As part of the normal course of doing business.
That's, you know what, I'll tell you, if you're in that line of work, always they're tested every month. It's like, well, a lot can happen in a month.
Well, it takes a while for it to turn up in a test. That's
right.
Why
don't you just go play the lottery every month?
Yeah, really?
Well, they kind of are.
They're already doing the scratch-off game anyway. And Buzz, how is Annie Sprinkle doing?
I don't know. What's the latest on her?
Annie Sprinkle.
It's been a long time since that name was mentioned on this show.
That's for sure. What a talent.
Little Annie Sprinkle.
I tried to call her Houseboat, but I forgot. Yeah, Mike, remember you said you want to live on a houseboat?
Yeah, Annie Sprinkle does.
So did Annie Sprinkle.
Didn't she have a fire on her houseboat or something?
She did, and she had some type of porn telethon to try to raise money. Remember we had her on the show? She was trying to raise money to build a new houseboat?
Regretfully, the number is no longer in service. Annie, if you can hear me, call me.
Annie, can you hear me?
The parents of a young woman, this is a fascinating story. The parents of a young woman who was murdered are accusing Ashton Kutcher of hindering the investigation.
Good heavens, no.
Oh, good heavens, yes. The 22-year-old woman was Ashton's date at the 2001 Grammy parties. He dated her a half dozen times in all. The Hollywood murder mystery unfolds this way.
Okay.
Kutcher showed up at the girl's bungalow in Hollywood to pick her up, but no one answered the bell.
Bungalow.
He walked around the house and peeked into the windows where he saw dark stains on the floor. He says he thought they were wine stains.
Day!
He says he then got back into his car and went to the parties alone. The girl's roommate found the victim the next morning, stabbed to death. The wine stains, of course, were...
Blood.
Actually blood.
Blood.
Now, the girl's parents say they're still angry at Ashton for not even bothering to call the police. Police say they interviewed Kutcher, but that he's never been a suspect. The girl had also dated action star Vin Diesel.
Somehow it works.
Yeah. Perhaps the best way.
That's creepy. You know what's even creepier, though, is that did you see on the news that, I don't know if you got this in your news, Buzz, maybe it's not newsworthy, that JonBenet Ramsey's dad is running for some office in Michigan.
Running for office.
Oh, God. Do you believe that? He's like he was on the Today Show or something today. You know, they're saying, here he is again, and I see those people again, and they show the footage of the beauty queen, and the, you know, she's out there doing her dance with the cowboy hat, and then he goes,
Well, I think the voters of Michigan can take me very seriously.
Yeah. That's whack.
What the hell's going on here?
That is
here?
Just weird on so many levels.
Why not just elect, why not get OJ to be your running mate?
Unbelievable.
Bonet and Simpson.
Man.
At 04.
This is strange. This is weird in a more amusing way. He didn't invent these voices, but he's the guy who does them today. He's now the voice of Bugs Bunny, Foghorn Leghorn, Elmer Fudd, and Daffy Duck. He's now Yogi and Boo Boo.
Michael
Mara. Barry Hound.
Thank you very much.
Yogi the Baron, Mr. Magoo. We still...
Oh, Magoo, you've done it again.
We still don't know why, but Monday, this guy got drunk and barricaded himself inside a house, took some hostages, and held a SWAT team at bay for hours.
So you're telling me there's an opening?
Yeah, maybe.
Cool.
Once he'd released the last of his female hostages, he surrendered after 5.5 hours.
It was Minnie Mouse.
No one got hurt. 54-year-old Greg Burson is out now on...
Stay away! Stay away!
It was Jessica Rabbit he was holding.
On $20,000 bail.
Yeah, stay away.
What's up, Doc? Warner Brothers has no comment.
All right, Buzz, we got to do a break here. SWAT. Oh, SWAT.
That's what it is. He held a SWAT team at bay.
Oh, that's right. Stop it. Stop it. I'm not going to let you in. Buzz, what's next? You know, this one's not as good as... What was the one that was the record by
Rhythm Heritage?
Yeah.
It makes me want to strap on a gun and pin on a badge and become a lawman.
I heard the guy when he was in the barricades at Ridge was singing Christmas songs.
I'll have a bit of Christmas without you.
Okay, is the audition over, Mike?
Never.
Sorry, I had to do that.
What's next, Buzz?
The latest on Michael Jackson's gay pornographer buddy.
Wow.
Michael Jackson? Mm-hmm. I got a Michael Jackson thing.
This you should not do.
What?
You should not say he's an animal. He's a... Should not say he's Jacko.
Jacko.
So I'll say. I'm not.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Hour 2. All morning. Don and Mike. All afternoon. 106.7 WJFK.
Sink northbound 395 from Edsel Road onto the 14th Street Bridge downtown across the Anacostia Bridges. The earlier accident southbound 295 is gone. Out of the delays, only closer to Van Dorn now to the Wilson. Traffic brought to you by Volkswagen Parts and Service. Get $5 off a real Volkswagen oil change for a free road trip inspection now at your participating Volkswagen Service Store dealers. Don't wait. Stop in today. The offer expires June 15, 2004. We're abruptly down to Mike Sutherland.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Zero tolerance for stupidity. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Here's Guy Birdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Michael Jackson's gay pornographer buddy is one of three more Jacko friends now named as co-conspirators.
You should call him Jacko. You should not say he's an animal. Should not say he's Jacko.
Okay.
And these guys, are these the German guys?
No, these are three new guys in addition to the three German guys.
Hi, this
is Wolfgang Jurecek from Germany.
Right.
Never forget.
That's right. Thank you.
The Don and Mike Show.
Because I saw on TV a bunch of German guys, and they look like, they didn't look like pornographers, they looked like German hit guys.
Really?
They had that Aryan look, they all...
kind of thuggish?
Long, blonde hair, pulled to a ponytail in the back, wearing the big threatening sunglasses.
Innocent.
I thought he'd say that. These men are accused of helping Michael keep kids and their families at the Neverland Ranch against their will. In Michael's indictment, six men are listed, three as co-conspirators. You've heard about them before. The other three, these today, are listed as uncharged co-conspirators. Of those three, Mark Schaffel, who's produced gay porn films, he helped Michael make the documentary that featured the boy who is now Michael's accuser.
Of Mark Schaffel Production.
Man, oh man, it's getting thicker.
It sure is.
And where are they now? Once a promising young comedian, Andy Dick, has been busted on a pot charge.
Oh, my.
He was in the VIP area near the stage of a California Music Festival recently when a security guard saw him fire up a joint.
Yeah, I love Dick.
You're
going to have to come with me, Mr. Dick.
The rent-a-cop says he then found Andy's stash, a baggie containing less than an ounce of weed.
Yeah, I love Dick.
The guard then turned Andy over to the police, who rounded up 28 other people that night.
Also this summer, Andy stars in the new MTV takeoff of The Apprentice called The Assistant. That's where he is now.
That's too bad because he really looked like he had it together on whatever that POS show is that he's on, that thing that's on ABC.
Hasn't he been whacked out? Hasn't he been in rehab also?
Yes, he has.
Right. What's the name of the show?
Is it Less Than Zero? Or Less Than Nothing?
Less Than Perfect?
Less Than Perfect.
Less Than Perfect.
That's it, yeah.
He's really good, and his modeling was taking off.
Andy Dick. He needs to drop some weight, though. Mr. Spock of the original Star Trek, meanwhile, is taking pictures of nude women. Now, we told you a couple of months ago that Shatner's shooting a layout
for
Playboy.
Hope there's no Klingons there. Watch out for Klingons.
But this isn't like the Shatner project. Leonard Nimoy is more interested in art than babes.
Hello.
So he made a picture book featuring the feminine aspects of the Jewish divinity. That was 2 years ago. The photographs are just now going on display for the first time at a museum in Massachusetts. Some of the women are nude, but still dressed in the shadows of black and white photography. Quoting Nimoy, at the heart of it all, this is a great quote, at the heart of it all is the fact that I was trying to really, completely enter into the world of the feminine.
Okay.
Leonard Nimoy.
Just a guy taking pictures.
Yeah. You know, when he changes his oil in his car, he does total maintenance. He also checks the spark plug.
There you go. Very good, Mr. Shannon.
Hello, Mr. Drysdale.
Milburn Drysdale here. Money. As I think I'm going to sing a song.
I can drive my car 100,000 miles without changing the oil.
I don't have to worry about such things. I always pedal to work.
I did it on purpose.
There are lots of good, clean uses for a camera phone. You can send pictures of the kids to grandma. The police hope we'll get into the habit of using them to capture a crime in progress. But they're also handy for taking upskirt pictures, and then those can make money on the internet, of course.
Right.
So Congress is all over this. They're talking about making it a federal offense, punishable with up to a year in prison. Secretly photographing someone's private moments or parts is already illegal in most states, but people who want the federal law say with all the camera phones out there now, no place is safe.
I'd like to see the people who are going to protest this.
Yeah. I think we should have the right to photograph up people's skirts.
Or so.
Well,
get me the ACLU on the phone.
Friday's almost here. Have a can of beer.
And you go, this is Joe Artinger. I think it's a free country. If I want to take a shot up somebody's skirt, I can.
I want to have some booze. Are those patent leather shoes?
I remember.
I don't know what happened to my bong. Hey, look, you're wearing a bong.
This is Joe. Since the day I was born, I've always wanted to make my own porn.
Joe.
As a kid, I remember some of my uncles having a hardware store girly calendars in their workshops.
Oh,
garages.
Sure. Please. Back before the horseless carriage?
Yeah. Even then.
I tell you, Betty Grable looked great.
Well, the good old days are back.
How's your Uncle Jacko?
He's not my uncle.
Jacko.
And don't call him that. The good old days are back thanks to the publishers of Playboy magazine. They're putting out a calendar called The Women of Home Depot. Only Home Depot employees can apply to be in the calendar. They have to prove it. They have to be 18, of course, and they have to provide a headshot and a full body shop, which can be in a bikini. Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, give me some naked Home Depot girl.
All photographs by Leonard Nimoy.
give me some naked. I'm trying to think. When I go to Home Depot, are there any girls there I'd like to see naked?
None that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. But some of the men would be great in that Playgirl.
Strapping.
On a beach with a cowboy hat, pretending to be falling asleep.
Playing a guitar.
So, a four-year-old girl. Or never, a ukulele.
Never changing the oil in their car. Never. That's just a dipstick.
A four-year-old girl comes out of her bedroom singing a song that includes a word we cannot repeat, couldn't have even before the witch hunt.
What's the start with?
Slang word for a male body part.
But the words start with
They could start with, for example, the letter C.
Okay, gotcha.
All right.
Gotcha.
Melissa's parents were immediately convinced she had learned the song with that word from the Learn Through Music Interactive Learning System and the Blues Clues Colorful Friends software that came with it.
Oh, my God.
The parents say they cannot believe the company would release a toy that even sounds like it's swearing.
Oh, my God.
Fisher Price says it rigorously tests all its toys and that this one is not swearing. And the company says experts recommend parents talk to their kids and explain the real word of the song and also tell the child not to push more than one button at a time. Finally, no double secret probation for these boys. A fraternity has been shut out at the University of New Hampshire after members of the Phi Kappa Sigma frat house tagged a woman. The young woman... I'll explain. The young woman had passed out and fallen asleep at their house, so they got out the Sharpies and the magic markers and wrote things on her. And
two teams. Can we lie? Can we fill in 15?
They drew
things. No, all right. Can we, I don't even remember what it was.
There she is. They wrote on her, and they drew things on her as well.
Imagine if I could tag Frida. What would I write on her?
Oh, my goodness.
Two of the Phi Kappa Sigmas.
Best wife ever.
There you go.
Heart.
Good answer.
Arrow.
Two of the Phi Kappa Sigmas have been ordered to do 50 hours of community service. No word on whether that involves scrubbing off the graffiti. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Tag, you're it, Buzz.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike, we got to go.
Now?
Yes, right now.
All right.
We'll be back tomorrow with a new episode. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please be safe. Good day to you, sir.
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 Okay, my friend.
Will you join me?
For what?
The Wax Museum.
Question authority. E.
So we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.